God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies of the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duff. And we also have a special guest here with us this week. Claire, would you like to introduce yourself?
I would. Hi, I'm Claire. I am a longtime Spooky Tuesday listener. Actually, I think the first episode I ever listened to of you all was 47 Meters Down.
Another one. Oh my God, Slay.
What a great place to come in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Sharky Two's weeks will always hold a special place in my heart.
Beautiful. Ours beautiful. Too. But you're also a Spooky Tuesday collaborator. Is that right, Claire? Can you tell us about that?
Yes.
Please, yeah. Please, yes. Weigh in.
Absolutely. So I have a podcast called Why the Flick, and it's a movie podcast. And I've had you guys on last season. We talked about Cursed, which was so much fun.
An incredible work of art.
Yes.
I learned so much about werewolves.
Yes. And lapping up water.
Yeah. I bring up the puddle thing a lot. I bring up the puddle thing. Honestly, I almost brought it up like 2 days ago and I had to restrain myself because I was like, it's weird to just bring that up.
And I feel like it might come up again, though, because there are certainly paw prints. I don't know. They're footprints.
There's puddles in this movie.
There are animal
bodies of water.
Creature prints, monster prints in this film that we are doing today, which, just for the record, is Jurassic Park. And also, just for the record, it's a horror movie, at least to us, because every time I mentioned that to people today, they kept going, oh, is that a horror movie? Yes, it is. Okay.
It's a monster movie.
Yes, 100%.
It's in our tagline.
It's spooky. They're running for their lives. They're being chased by monsters. That sounds like a monster movie to me, and I don't really know what your problem is. But before we can get into that, we actually do have something else to tell you about first. So I'll let Monica take it from here.
Yeah, dude, I really want to talk about that too. So it's really hard to pivot now, but it's important. Because as you know, we're looking fresh to fucking death these days. And that's because we rebranded last week and we're sexier now and we all have bangs except for Chelsea and she has pink hair.
They
and
might
now
be
everyone
under here.
Knows.
But here's the thing. The podcast got bangs.
The podcast got bangs.
The podcast got metaphorical bangs.
Or bangs.
Yeah, we got metaphorical bangs. It's very slay, some would say. I've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that whisper.
That's so crazy.
Echoing through the halls. You saw our cool new YouTube intro. We are so excited. And also, along with all of that, you know that we are selling merchandise right now.
We are doing merch.
Merch, 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 merch. 3 sexy items for your perusal. A sexy hat, a sexy shirt, a sexy sweatshirt. Wow. Also sexy. You could wear them all at once.
We have 3 sexy items for 3 dumb, for 3 what, beautiful idiots?
Beautiful idiots.
Beautiful idiots. You could almost have a full Spooky Tuesday outfit. And trust me, girl, we wanted to do Spooky Tuesday booty shorts, but we wanted to test the market first. So peep that later on in the year, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, there's 3 items. I think if you're in a bestie squad of 3 people, but it's really important that you all have your own original identities, like, there's something for each of you to be your item. So actually, I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect.
And as a customer, they all slay.
Thank you, Claire. Oh,
you
oh my God. Thank you, Claire.
I just
want to
let you all know that.
Whoa. See?
It's not,
and she's not
we're
saying
biased.
That because I just said that.
Claire
from my mouth
truth.
To God's
yeah.
ears.
Yeah. Whoa. And that's on God. No, but seriously, like with spring sprunging right now, there is a baseball hat. You want to keep that sun off your face? Why not do it in style? There's a camo hat. Okay, you could go hunting.
Yes,
you could take us hunting
cunty.
With you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very horror adjacent. Guns scare me, and so that could be you. If only you
Are
know.
you hiding from dinosaurs and you need to blend into the wilderness around you? Oh my God,
It's
we've got
topical.
the perfect hat.
It's perfect.
And other hunters won't shoot you because it's very bright
Yeah.
on the front.
It's
So they'll be
actually
like, oh,
serving
okay,
an
that's actually not
incredible
a
dual
tree.
purpose. Yeah, no. It's perfect. It's like the
We thought
bright
it all
colors for other
through.
hunters, but the camo to help you hide from dinosaurs. See?
It's weird because there's a huge crossover between Spooky Tuesday listeners and hunters that we noticed. And so we have the customer in line in mind. Excuse me. Maybe they're in line as well. But
They're
there's
in
also
line to
other
purchase
hats.
items. Ooh,
Ooh.
I'm at Spooky Tuesday merch store.
Whoa, fucking crazy stuff here. And so as you know too, it's a limited time only deal. We can't have this here forever. Otherwise, life would be too easy. It's gotta be hard out there. So the store does close on the 12th of April at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time.
There will
I
be another episode in between now and then, so you'll know
We'll
for sure.
update you on the
We'll
time.
blast that information literally everywhere that you might ever have exposure to Spooky Tuesday. So,
Exactly.
if
So
that's not quite correct, you'll get up-to-date information.
if you're looking for the link, it's in the show notes. It's in the link in our bio. It's everywhere. It's all over our social media. So you will find it, and we would love to see. Okay, honestly, if you buy stuff from us, please send us a selfie wearing it too. That was something I would
Yes,
love
we
to
will
do.
love that.
Hashtag Spooky Tuesday swag, spooky swag, something like that. Social media movement starting right now. Which one
Actually a
should it be?
little
Hashtag
throwback with a hashtag,
Spooky swag. That's what it is. Because Spooky Tuesday swag might be too long for a hashtag.
Spooky swag might be in use potentially.
Hashtag Spooky Tuesday
We'll
swag.
focus
There you
group
go.
this and we'll get back to you.
Hashtag Spooky Tuesday swag. And now we're gonna talk about Jurassic Park. But thank you
And
so
now
much
we're going
for
to talk.
enjoying this infomercial brought to you by Spooky Tuesday. But back to Jurassic Park as a horror
Speaking
movie.
of t-shirts, Claire has a Jurassic Park t-shirt on, and that leads us back to Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Thank you. Wow, beautiful segue. Thank you, Chelsea. But yeah, I actually was talking to some random men today at a store, and I was like, do you think Jurassic Park is a horror movie? And they are horror fans, and they said, yes, of course. So I think
Okay.
that is
Ooh.
the divide. I think that horror fans like us, like-minded folks, like all of us in the room today, would agree that this is a horror movie because it's fucking scary. It has all of the horror tropes. But people who don't like horror movies and like Jurassic Park like to say, I don't like horror movies. So Jurassic Park can't be a horror movie, even though it traumatized you as a child, sir. I know it did. I
It
know it did.
absolutely did.
Yeah, it
Don't run
traumatized
from
me.
that. It's a horror movie. That's because it's a horror movie. That's why it traumatized you as a kid. And it throws you off. I would say the first hour, you don't think it's a horror movie. You're having a wonderful time. You're experiencing the magnificent circle of life and science and
You think it's
Jeff
a science
Goldblum.
movie?
The score is so uplifting, but it's a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a slow burn. They gotta let you take the bait before they can reel you in.
They have to
So I
lull you
mean,
into a false sense of security and then they have to rip that away.
I
Yeah.
mean, that's, I guess, assuming you never ever saw a trailer or any marketing for this movie in advance, because they're promising a spooky time, I think. But just in case, I'll read the log line to you and we'll see if that sounds spooky, and then we'll really know the truth. But IMDb trivia reads, a pragmatic paleontologist touring an almost complete theme park on an island in Central America is tasked with protecting a couple of kids after a power failure causes the park's cloned dinosaurs to run loose. That's a little bit spooky. It sounds, I don't know that I would have written the log line in such a way because it really is given a lot away in many ways. But that said, I know exactly what I'm getting into now.
I just want to say I have the original book.
I want to read the
I'm
book.
Jealous
horrified.
it
You
is.
have the book in hard copy because I have it on my Kindle and
Oh.
it's like not the same because it doesn't have any of
Oh,
the
hold up, Kindle.
illustrations.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is torn to shreds because I've read it. It's very
Dinosaur
old
took a
and I've
bite
read
out of
it
it.
many times. Yeah,
Chomp,
I'll
chomp.
say. But it does say, what does it say?
Soon to be major motion picture.
Creatures extinct for eons now roam Jurassic Park with their awesome presence and profound mystery, and all the world can visit them for a price until something goes wrong. Dot dot dot.
That's a way better tagline.
Yeah.
That's way better. Oh my God.
It does
God.
Kind of make it sound like the park is open though, which that it almost sounds like that's the Jurassic World log line, you know?
They were setting the stage for Jurassic yeah. World to happen.
Well, they could tell, I do think, early on that this was going to be a fucking smash, because before the book even came out, I didn't read through everything on IMDb trivia because God, is it long, and time is limited. But one of the first ones talks about how this, the rights to make this into a movie were purchased for like $2 million before the book was even finished published. So,
dude, and it was a fucking fight to the death.
Yeah, and yeah. Steven Spielberg was like, I have to put a pause on working on this TV show called ER that I was working on before, and I have to make this movie right now. It's imperative. And then I'll circle back to ER.
Yeah, no, I was really interested by all the other people who wanted it and who were going for it. Like, they wanted this to be a Tim Burton movie. How interesting. How interesting. They also wanted Joe Dante to direct. We love Gremlins man, Joe Dante. And also James Cameron really wanted this movie. And he said it was going to be just like Aliens, but with dinosaurs. So, okay.
Which would have been so wild.
And isn't very wild. Kennedy, weren't they married? And she's a producer on this? Or am I confusing it with something else?
I don't know. But the other thing about the James Cameron one, he wanted to have Bill Paxton as Malcolm, a.k.a. Jeff Goldblum's character, which that totally works, the silly Billy nature. And he wanted fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger as Grant.
Also, Arnold, I know.
Imagine.
Wow. Would have been a totally different movie.
Also, Harrison Ford turned down the Grant's role, too.
Wow. And also, I made up that thing about James Cameron and Kathleen Kennedy. That's not right, I guess.
Okay.
It's the internet. You're allowed to lie, Chelsea.
Yeah.
I have another thing to show you guys.
Oh my God. She has so many references.
Oh my God. Tell us about this book.
This is the definitive Bible for how Jurassic Park got made. It is. It came out in 1993. It is a first edition. My mother-in-law gave it to me. Bless her heart. Because she knows I love Jurassic Park so much. And I read the whole thing in preparation for this episode. So I can tell you guys almost anything you want to know.
We're going to be like, okay, we saw this on the internet. She's going to be like, wrong.
Nope, that's not correct. Here's what's in the book.
They even have pictures.
Wow. That's gorgeous. Wow, the YouTube subscribers are really going to enjoy the visual experience that Claire is bringing to the episode.
Just a little shout for YouTube if you want to go subscribe on YouTube. It's really fun. You can look at us the whole time.
We're all dressed up today. I'm dressed up as Laura Dern. Sydney's dressed up as Laura Dern. Chelsea's dressed up as Grant. And Claire is the Jurassic Park Jeep. I think it works because you're wearing glasses and that's kind of like the headlights. And so I think you're the Jeep.
Or the windshield.
Not the gate. Yeah, or the windshield. Yeah.
Or the sunroof that comes crashing down later.
Yes. Oh, my God. But, okay, I have a question to start this off because this is a very nostalgic movie for people of our age demographic. I myself was born in 1993, so this movie came out the year I was born. So
she was born in the theater while her parents were seeing the movie.
It was crazy. It was wild. And so, you know, like this was Chelsea's first horror movie that she ever saw. If we're calling this a horror movie, which we are, it's probably the first horror movie I ever saw, but I didn't think about that at the time because I was a young idiot. Before I didn't know to call it. I didn't have the terms to call this what it is, you know what I mean? But I want to know what y'all's first experience was with this film, how it warped shaped your entire lives, which I'm sure it did.
Go, Claire.
Okay. Well, I think I was maybe 5 when I first saw this movie. I definitely didn't see it right when it first came out. We waited till it was on VHS and got to watch it at home. But I also don't remember watching the movie because it scared me to death. I think I just blacked out the whole thing, you know, the childhood trauma of it all. I did, though, have many nightmares of this film. Lots yes. of nightmares of a T-Rex chasing me in a car, which I definitely got from this movie. I had, I think, my first actual dream with dinosaurs. It was actually really nice. Like, I had these herbivores were, like, around us, and they were, like, kind of our friends and our, like, mode of transportation, which may not actually be ethical, but whatever, I was a kid.
They wanted you to ride them.
Yeah. But then it turned into a nightmare because somehow the T-Rex lived in our attic and we couldn't go up into the attic. Otherwise the T-Rex would eat us.
That's
so,
a classic T-Rex habitat.
Yeah. Classic.
It's also like a classic kid thing. I thought evil gorillas lived in our back bedroom as a kid.
So, this place scares me and this thing scares me. Therefore, obviously the T-Rex lives in the attic.
Yeah.
Of course.
But then I grew up and I got like a little bit older and I was like, okay, I have to, and I was probably like maybe 10 and I was like, I have to get over this fear that I have of this movie. So I watched it. I know, little old me. And I watched it again. I was still scared to death, but I liked it a lot more. And then here I am now, totally obsessed with the film. Like, this is my favorite film of all time. I know so much about the making of it and I'm obsessed with it. Like, I could watch it all day, every day.
Amazing. Oh my God. I'm so glad that you are on this episode. You slid into our DMs after we talked about it a couple of episodes ago about how it is a horror movie. And it seemed like you were the biggest fan of all time, but it's great to confirm to know that you are an expert. We have an expert here with us today.
Mm-hmm. We have a finger on the pulse of expertise right here.
Genius. a book reading woman. Anyone else want to share their childhood trauma in regards to this film? Just in regards to this film.
Yeah.
We don't all day.
When I was young. No. I first, like I said, we talked about this on Sledgehammer Horror on YouTube, where we did an episode with Ken where we talked about our first horror movies and what we really remember being scared by it. And rewatching this, I realized that I was like definitely conflating a moment in this movie with a moment in Jurassic Park 2, because my exposure to them was it was the third grade and my pop-pop died and we were on, in the East Coast for his funeral. And I guess they wanted the kids to not be underfoot during the visiting, or maybe someone was sitting Shiva. I don't know what it was, but they were like, get the fuck out of here. So they put us down in the basement and we were watching all three Jurassic Park movies. And I don't know why that was the movie that they put on for us. Probably it was like some neighbor kid who was like, I have movies at home. So we just watched them all three straight through. But I remember like coming in and out and being like, it's scary. I gotta go. Okay. I gotta come back. What's happening? I gotta go. Okay. What's going on? Like, I definitely, rewatching this, especially the beginning, I was like, maybe I have never seen the beginning of Jurassic Park before, because I always thought I had seen it all the way through, but I kept going in and out of that room. It was too scary for me back then. And then I think, you know, it's just a fucking classic. So I've seen little bits and bobs on TV over the years, or in YouTube videos over the years, or just in exposure. And I don't know that I had ever since then sat down and watched it all the way through. So it got it such a gorgeous film.
Yeah.
It's
worth the hype.
Want to know why putting this movie on to like distract children at a funeral is like a universal experience, because like this happened to me, but my best friend growing up, like my childhood best friend Elena, she was like, yeah, my grandpa died, and we were in like
classic grandpa died
while they were doing like the visitation and stuff like that, and all you could hear, like, everybody was crying and you would just hear and
they said,
to, like,
well,
go
you're
in
not
gonna
be sad about your grandpa, I'll tell you that. But also, there is a grandpa in this movie and he has grandchildren, and he is a questionable grandpa in many ways, but also he loves them.
Yeah.
This is a grandpa loves his grandchildren.
It's actually
so that's
very
dramatic.
So
they said your grandpa loved you. Oh, you're gonna love Jurassic Park.
This is backfiring though, because like especially in your childhood best friend's case, Sydney, they're like, we don't want you to have the trauma of see the visitation, which is a dead body. So let us put you in another room with a movie that is guaranteed to also traumatize you,
where people are literally dying.
Mm-hmm. They're okay. Dinosaurs, real life dead body. Dinosaurs, sure, why not?
Because this is legitimately scary. And I think one of the reasons why this is extra scary for kids is because there's kids in it. So yeah, it's like, yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me and my brother, Tim. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Like, but
kids fucking love dinosaurs. So yeah, I'm sure they're like, oh, kids love dinosaurs. Put on this dinosaur movie for them. Girl, when's the last time you watched it? Because, like, not that it's super gory, but it's scary.
Well, apparently, so Michael, what, Crichton is his last name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He got like $2 million to the rights of this film. It was like $1.5 million to like do it. But then he also like wrote the screenplay for it. Like,
I'm
based on
negotiating.
His book.
Yeah.
And his first like swipe at it was really kid focused. Like it was like from the point of the kids, like it was their thing, and all of the older people were like, no, too like childlike. So he was like, okay, I'm gonna write it from like a curmudgeon-y New Yorker standpoint. Everybody was like, oh my god, I love this. So he wanted to make the, he was like, this is dinosaurs, this is the early 90s, like it should be like for children. And so that's why you get like, you know, some of the things like him with the Timmy with the electric fence and like all this kind of stuff, like this is a movie for kids with like just some mild adult humor in it as well.
They tried to hit everything. That's very Dario Argento of him to be like, let's make it all with children, just like in Suspiria. But before we go any further, I want to share my childhood trauma.
Back to you.
So I don't remember when I first saw this, but it must have been when I was like at least five, because you ever have like a dream? I mean, I know Claire does, like from your childhood that you still remember into adulthood and it haunts you to this day. Yeah. I had like a recurring kind of dream with this for a period of time. And it was like I was in a giant mansion by myself. And it was very like white walls, not decorated. And I was all alone. And then I knew that something was wrong. And the fucking shaking thing happened that happens in this. And so like I left and I ran out. It was like fucking Versailles Gardens kind of thing. I like ran out to get out of the house. And then like all of the dinosaurs in the world just started like flooding out. Ooh, ow, I punched my microphone. started flooding out of the mansion and I had to like run away. And it scared the ever loving shit out of me as a kid, that dream. But I still like was a fucking ride or die for Jurassic Park. Like I can't remember the specifics for it, but I went on one trip to New York when I was a little kid and we went to FAO Schwartz. Come on. You gotta do it. Yeah.
You gotta.
And my dad was like, you can have one thing from FAO Schwartz. It can be anything from FAO Schwartz. Even, he points to the wall, the Barbie car. The one you, as a child, drive around in. Your body goes in the car and you drive.
I miss my Barbie Jeep. Wow.
I loved that shit.
So this is actually very indicative to my personality and some of the weird things about me that I have had in my life, because I'm very driving adverse. I do not like driving. I did not get my license until I was 21, anti-slay. And so it started from even that very young age, because I had the opportunity to be a licensed baby driver. And instead I said, no, daddy, this is what I want. And it was a T-Rex, Jurassic Park branded T-Rex that went rawr, like it did the rawr. It had a little car thingy with it. And it was like fucking like this big. It was huge. And that is what I chose. And my parents were like, are you sure the Barbie car is on the table? And I was like, I'm a cool tomboy. I want the fucking T-Rex. And anyway, so kind of cool of me. But also,
honestly, it was the right choice.
Opportunity. I wish I still had it. I was going to go home and look for it, but the cards did not.
Who has the time?
I'm not going to go to the valley right now. But yeah, it's a movie that really struck us 90s kids. And it's because it was the movie of the early 90s.
But
the
also too,
blockbuster.
I'm sorry, like if you ask, like, oh, if you ask me in 2024, like, how would you be able to clone a dinosaur? My first thing would be like, well, you gotta have a mosquito in amber. It's gotta
first
be
you need
saying.
A drop of blood. Where do you get 100 million year old dinosaur blood? Well, we have this handy little cartoon to explain it to you.
Mr. DNA.
Okay. The cartoon was so amazing, but before we get to that, the opening of this movie is the same exact thing as the opening of Creature from the Black Lagoon. Like, it's the exact same fucking vibe. Like, it really is. Like, they're, like, going down to, like, where the mining is happening, and it's very spooky and very ominous, and it's, like, very clear that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. And then there's also an archaeological dig, and they find a dinosaur, just like they find the arm. I don't know. I thought it was. And then they cut to the scene with the dinosaur where someone dies. And it's just like when they cut to the scene with the creature and it rips up all those dudes. I don't know. It's a universal property. So just saying.
Classic monster story.
See, classic. It's a monster movie.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have
Netflix
to be
says
self-referential
you can find
to
it on
their IP.
You can find it on Netflix right now, and it says it's an intense science fiction terror. So, to me, that's horror movie, baby.
Facts.
Terror is a synonym for horror.
They don't have it under the horror genre, but that's just because it slips their mind, and they told me
also,
that, and they said they're going to make it right.
I was going to say, also, there are very clear references to Death Becomes Her in the book that I read,
say more.
Which is... So during pre-production, which was led by Stan Winston Studio, who did all the amazing animatronic dinosaurs. But during pre-production, the art department took a break to go to design and construct the sets for Death Becomes Her.
Ooh.
And two things. And David Koepp, who wrote the script along with Michael Crichton for Jurassic Park, had just finished writing the script for Death Becomes Her.
Well, there you go.
That's a display.
Damn. The script for both is great. The script for both is great. There was a lot of good lines in this movie.
Yeah. And it's a lot of the lines like came directly from the book too.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, directly from the book. A lot of it's like from Malcolm, but a lot of the dialogue is very similar to the book.
Yeah, Malcolm's like this. I know the dinosaurs are supposed to be the star, but Jeff Goldblum and his chest hair is, in fact, the star of, like, I don't know. I'm in my sexy scientist era right now. So I
he's
love a good
not a
sexy
mathematician.
Scientist.
He's a chaotician or whatever the fuck he said. Chaotician.
Yeah, I, it was, I always assumed he was just like a scientist in the scientist crew because, again, I guess I never saw the beginning of this movie before, but it's so interesting the way they do the setup, actually, where it's like they have the first scene is actually the like releasing the dinosaur from the box and then it eats that guy, and then they have like the other stuff that's going on where they're like mining for amber and like Sam Neill is over here on his archaeological dig, and then they have like the lawyer guy coming in, and like that setup makes so much more sense where it's like, ugh, we recently had a workplace lawsuit, so now we have to bring people in to inspect the park, and I'm trying to counter that by bringing in dinosaur experts who hopefully are just so fucking excited that I've got dinosaurs that they'll say I can do whatever I want. I'm just really hoping that they're so charmed by me and charmed by me funding their dig for another 3 years that they're just gonna be like, yay, science in action. And they're not gonna, I've never really talked to a scientist beyond the people that I pay who do what I tell them to do because I pay them. So I'm just assuming that they're also gonna be yes men because I'm not previously dialoguing with anybody who's ever questioned me meaningfully. So it was a really interesting setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the lawyer brings in Malcolm. He's like there with the lawyer somehow for some reason.
Woo! Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, he's such a, like, sweetie Petey Hammond. Like, you want to love him. Richard Attenborough is a lovable gent, a British
and
legend.
He's just a dreamer.
He's just a dreamer. But, you know, he is doing a thing that people often do, which is, like, just thinking that humans are the most superior thing that exists and that, like, nothing can go wrong. But that's really just, like, it ain't gonna happen. It's like storm chasers. Like, you will get sucked into the tornado. It's because I want to see Twister that I brought that up, I'm pretty sure. I've been thinking
I love
about
Twister.
That
movie also
I still haven't
horrified
seen it.
Me.
But it's like, you don't fuck with Mother Nature. Yeah. You get fucked.
Yeah.
Have you seen 47 meters down?
Have you seen 47 meters down? Yeah.
Listen, as a girl who lives with hella tornadoes, Twister is so scary.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll watch Twister tonight. Mm. I might watch Twister tonight. Anyway.
Back but to yeah, Jurassic I mean, Park. It is the, I watching it, it feels very relevant still to our life today, and particularly relevant to the question of scientists or rich people excited about science are so excited about the prospect of something and figuring out if it's possible that they don't really stop to question the, like, very real philosophical elements of it. Like, I was thinking about AI a lot while I was watching this, of just, like, people trying to be like, can we create it? Can it be made? Can it do what we want it to do without really stopping and thinking about the realities of how that would come to be and how people would engage with it? And, like, obviously we've talked about AI before. I think we talked about it on Megan a lot, because obviously it was very relevant. But, like, I mean, I don't think it's a surprise
we're
to
always
anybody
thinking about Megan.
Yeah. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody to discover that AI can be used for really terrible things, like making fake nudes of people and stuff like that. And, like, I don't know. There's, and, like, AI art is just, like, feeding off of other artists' already existing art that they're not licensing for it. And just the people who were excited about the technology, like, the prospect of what you can do clouded them to the realities of the situation, and that's what happens here. Is Hammond is just so excited about the prospect that he's not engaging with any of the, like, yeah, girl, now that you have dinosaurs, what are you gonna do with these dinosaurs? And by the way, they're not real dinosaurs, because, like you said, you filled in the DNA with other animals, and now they're this completely new thing that you can't really anticipate what the behavior is gonna be. You can't really anticipate what's gonna happen.
You made something different. You added frogs in there, and frogs are my favorite animal, but they're unruly motherfuckers, and they can do a lot of shit.
Yeah,
like, apparently,
and the way
they switch their genders.
Yes.
And also, but, sometimes they're poisonous.
That's my thing, too. They kept fucking touching the dinosaurs, and then I was like, you guys are not at all, like, reconciling the reality that sometimes frogs are poisonous, and when you touch them, and then you touch anything else after that, like, that can be very... You guys just keep touching these dinosaurs and these sick dinosaurs, and I don't think anybody's washing their hands.
But also, could be giving the dinosaurs your sick, icky people germs.
You guys are not thinking this through.
That's true. I think with frogs, though, like, when they do when they have excretions, they have the they have, like, a gleam to them, like a shine to them, because it's an oil that's on their skin. And also, like, usually genetically, they are a bright color.
Yeah.
Because they obviously, the poison is a last resort. They don't want to get eaten. So they want everyone to know that they are poisonous so they won't get eaten. So some of them will be bright colors to fool predators. But like that's usually a thing. So I do think fair, but I do think like the dinosaurs that are there don't have any of the telltale signs.
Yeah.
But like back to the whole like doing things just for science for science sake without thinking about it in scope. It's honestly a really like relevant conversation right now with Oppenheimer. That's what Oppenheimer is about. It's
wasn't
like,
his picture in here?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's his picture who that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Oppenheimer.
It's exactly the same
and then it was
thing.
Like
it's literally
boom, question mark. Yep. And I was like,
Yes, okay, that's who that was. Not I was subtle. Wondering what that was.
You're yeah, like, what is this picture of Cillian Murphy doing here?
It looked a lot Cillian like Murphy. Him. I was like, I am pretty sure this is Oppenheimer purely yeah. because of the physical resemblance to Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, they did a
and
really
it's
good
like
job.
Another technology that we did not fully understand, and then we made it, and now, oops, now
yeah,
it exists.
At what and cost? If you saw Oppenheimer, he was like, there is a chance that this is going to light the whole atmosphere on fire, and we don't yeah. know for sure that it won't. So, like...
They just throw caution to the wind. And it's like, once you make something, you can't unmake it, especially mm-hmm. in this day and age. So it's really interesting, you know, it's so exciting, but it's also like sick, you know, what he's doing too, that he's like creating these animals, but making them completely like under his control. Obviously they can't control them at all because look at the movie hence the movie. But like, they're trying to like control them so they can't mate in the way that animals would. They're picking these plants based on aesthetics instead mm-hmm. of what is actually right and what should actually be there. Like that one line from Laura Dern where she's like, these plants and animals like are programmed to fight to survive and they'll do whatever they can. And you're not thinking about that. It's really interesting. Like it's not just the silly blockbuster. Like,
well, also
themes.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about it's not just that they're doing like a marvel of science. It's also that they're trying to make a fucking zoo. And mm-hmm. if you're giving proper enclosures to these creatures, you can't make them come and perform on demand. And also, like, you're treating them like animals that we have now that have been, to whatever degree, domesticated over thousands and thousands of years. This is not that. And like, maybe they don't necessarily, they're not like, oh, I've learned from my mother how to be a T-Rex. And like, I was raised blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously that's not really what's going on. But also there is like genealogical DNA imperatives. And Laura Dern talks about that. She's like, these are not like, these animals aren't going to come eat this goat. They want to hunt. They don't want to be fed like this. Like, he's trying to, somebody on IMDb trivia was like, they were going for a dark Walt Disney, but also there's elements of P.T. Barnum here. And like, that's so real because he's trying to make a circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, who's P.T. Barnum? Barnum
oh,
and Bailey.
Yeah.
Barnum and Bailey.
There's like a moment in my adulthood where I was like, Hammond's the villain of mm-hmm. this movie. Like being an adult means recognizing and accepting the fact that it's Hammond who is the villain of this movie. And in the book, he is so much worse. So
oh,
much
I'm sure.
worse. Like, yeah, that's a really
fucking grandpa in this movie.
Yeah. They made that like a huge change because they wanted to kind of, I think, soften the character of Hammond for audiences. But in the book, he never accepts responsibility for what he did, and he is so focused on the dinosaurs and doesn't care about anyone else, even to the point when people are dying, he's like, I will just start over, like it will be fine. But he does die in the book, so there's that.
I guess they're like, if we have to let him
spoiler.
live.
Oops,
he has
I guess,
to be a little
sorry.
More redeemable. That's okay, Claire, I forgive you.
The book's been out since 1990,
yeah,
so
yeah,
you can't spoil something that's old, sorry.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think that he is definitely the villain, because again, they try and make this other guy the villain, and I would love to talk about his portrayal at some other point. First right now I'll just say love him, I think he's funny. But that aside, like, this is so, there is such clear potential for things to go wrong at so many different points in the construction of this park. And if you want it to all go well, you have to have a really strong team of people who are good at their jobs and that you can trust, because this is like new, one of a kind. You're gonna want to double fucking check those systems. You don't want only one person who can do this, because then if you have a disgruntled employee, which you do, because he wasn't being, I don't know if Hammond wasn't paying him appropriately for his work or if he just decided he wanted more money. But either way, if your employees are not satisfied with their employment and they're the only one doing their job, yeah, it's, they can sabotage your whole fucking effort, and it's really easy to do. And nobody can really be that mad at them for being like, I'm going to stop doing my job right now because I'm not being compensated appropriately.
Yeah.
Even if he just quit, you know, shit would be fucked after that point.
Yeah. There is a tweet I saw once where it was like Hammond and Nedry, and in the Hammond's picture it said spares no expense, and on Nedry it said hires one IT guy.
Yeah, right? Like, that's, and I'm like, crazy.
That's yeah, absolutely. And like, in, I know I keep talking about the book, I'm so sorry, but like, there's like so much more context to things in the book. And so like, in the book, Nedry is upset because he was hired, he bid for the job, but Hammond basically lied to him about what the job entailed, and it was so much more than like what he bid for, so he isn't getting paid enough. And on top of that, when Nedry tries to leave or sue Hammond, Hammond basically like slanders his name to all these other companies so nobody else will hire him, so that this is the only thing that Nedry can do to kind of get out.
But see, like, that provides a lot of lovely background context that we we just know he's disgruntled.
Yeah.
Instead, they're just like, this guy's greedy and he's fat and he's a slob.
Asshole.
And it's like, of course you decided the greedy guy is a fat slob who leaves candy wrappers at his
Spielberg.
Desk. Yeah.
That was so fucked up. And they just made him like
the
a 90s. Mumbling.
How are they supposed to know?
It's first of all, you guys didn't even realize that you put him in a costume that slays, because I love his little shirt and he looks great. He has fashion. And then you guys are just trying to be like, he's a fat slob and he goes to the vending machines. And I was like, great. Thank you so much. Love it.
Yeah. That, and his workstation being all nasty and stuff. I was just
and
like,
his background and being a sexy lady. But I loved that, obviously.
Okay, but that was a slay.
Yeah, like, slay. Slay.
Don't geniuses work in like slob desks anyway? So he's
that's
just really
classic.
Smart.
Yes, I say sitting here classic. At my slob desk.
Don't look around. Yeah.
Classic, classic, classic. Oh yeah, no, that was one thing that really pissed me off from this movie. I mean, I didn't find this movie to be super problematic, honestly, for 93, besides that, and that is a big part of it. He's funny though.
The movie to have a little bit of problematic, otherwise it's not a 90s movie.
Mm.
And
of course,
also
it's
like
part of the hominess of it.
It's part of
it's
the charm.
One of those things where I am willing to be like, I love him so much and he slays so hard and he's so funny and he's got so many good lines that I'm willing to be like, fat people are allowed to be villains too, in the same way that we're like, gay people are allowed to be villains and it's actually empowering for them sometimes. So I am willing to claim this as a slay, but I know that they did not mean it that way, and I want them to know that I see them.
Honestly, justice for Nedry.
Samuel L. Jackson slay, though.
I know! Samuel L. Jackson! I was like, Samuel L. Jackson's here!
He's so cute in this. He's so handsome.
Every time I see this movie, I'm like, oh God, it's Samuel Jackson. I like always forget that
he's in this. I always forget Jeff Goldblum is in this movie as well.
What?
I do.
Oh,
every
I
time.
Don't.
Every
can't
time.
Relate,
I'm always like, oh my God.
To me,
every
him
time.
You block it out
and,
so
like,
you're
life,
not.
Finds a way. Like, those are the most famous parts of this film.
Yes.
You
I'm like in my
block
brain.
It out
I know
so you're
this.
Not. You block Sorry. It out so you're not in heat. All
the
time,
whole
you know what I mean? You have to do that. It's a self-preservation thing, and I understand.
And also, Samuel, I like doing the oh my God, it's Jeff Goldblum every time.
It's good.
When he is in that helicopter for the first time, and he goes like the laugh is so fucking good.
Can you do it again? That was so good.
That was a once in a lifetime.
That's okay. This is recorded. I'll just run it back later. He is such an incredible flirt in this. And also everything he says is so correct. Like, he's so smart. And he's like speaking, like, you know, the rest of our characters. We have the lawyer. What's his name? I don't want to forget. Gennaro. Mm-hmm. Gennaro. Okay. He, you know, he's also trying to shut things down, but from a different perspective, not a moral perspective, like in the best interest of his client's perspective. Not that it's immoral, but it, like, Malcolm is there and he like is speaking so many truths and then he's spitting so much game and it's just like damn, 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 damn. Everything comes out of his mouth.
Whew, he's like, I refuse to believe you're unfamiliar with the theory of attraction. Like, stop.
Ooh. Again, sexy nerds, I'm just saying. It's where it's at.
Well, also, I loved Hammond's like quote in the helicopter when he's like, I bring a scientist and you brought a rock star.
Yeah.
He's not a normal scientist. He's a chaotic.
He's a cool scientist. Oh, chaotician.
Chaotician, thank you.
I only know because he was like a chaotician. I've seen this movie like so many times. I think I have it all memorized.
I don't have the availability to say that. But,
like, his chaos theory also comes into play too with the movie itself. Like, they only touch upon it a little bit in that car scene again with Ian and Ellie when he's flirting with her.
Water droplet.
Like, he's like, he's like, imperfections in the skin.
Imperfections are microscopic, baby. Yeah. Don't worry, nobody can see.
The way that he like takes her little strand of hair and like tucks it behind her ear too. Yeah.
What are you touching her hair? Like, okay. Sydney's got the side bangs right, but I kind of have the same haircut as Laura Dern right now, except hers is shorter. And I was like, now I know exactly what I want. Exactly that on my fringe. Like, oh my God. He's such a flirt. And honestly, I love that Grant is just sitting there and he's not even like he's annoyed, but like he's not even that annoyed because he's like, that's a hot guy. You know what I mean? Like, let her have a little flirt time. And that's good
game,
job.
Recognized
Grant.
Game.
Game recognized game. He's like, I'll nip this in the butt when I have to, but right now I'm just enjoying watching it.
Mm-hmm. And he knows that Ellie can handle herself.
Yeah, and he was just like glad to be in the adult car too, because like, okay, I had never seen that scene in the beginning before, so him talking to the kid on the dig site and like having the big talon and like doing his whole speech. First of all, great setup and exposition. Really fun to have it with a kid, both to establish that he's like, I don't fucking like kids. I don't fuck with kids. Like, that's not my
thing.
And
I'm really
like,
fucking
I think
bad
annoying,
with them.
And I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm very willing to terrify a child because I think that they're annoying. And so it's kind of no big deal to me.
And they're stinky.
And then also to be able to be like, this is why getting killed by a raptor is the scariest possible thing that can happen to you. You think it's the T-Rex? No, it's a raptor. That was fucking great setup. But to have that and then to have the scene where Tim walks up and he's in his little mini me outfit. He's in almost the exact same clothes as Grant. And he's like, I read your book and I love you and I want to be in whatever car you're in. And I'm going with you. And then,
total little kid, like, exactly. Just like rapid fire questions. Like, what do you think about this? I wrote down these questions. I've been practicing for months.
It's so cute. And then the way that Grant manages to like disengage, and then the other girl comes over and she's like, Laura Dern told me to be wherever you are and that it would be good for you. And he's like, no, like, you see, and he manages to just be like, you guys go with the fucking lawyer guy. I can't do it. I can't, and I won't, and I shouldn't have to, and I'm going over here. It's such a fun setup for later in the movie too. Like,
they really
nail that aspect of it.
Yeah, it creates a great arc for Alan later on in the movie.
It's very sweet. That's one of the wholesome arcs of it. That's the family friendly shit.
That's,
you know,
also,
I mean,
the horror trope of like the reluctant man becomes dad hero.
Mm-hmm. True.
Hills Have
Eyes.
Did
honestly,
it. Other things. No one would. Also, Jason Statham in The Meg.
Yes,
he does it.
Oh yeah.
If they had just changed the score in some parts of this movie, it would be an unabashed horror. Like, no one would bat an eye at you saying that. but like specifically like, sorry, at the end, like they play like triumphant music in a scene that's like very, very scary actually. And I'm like, if you just change that tone, like instead of like leading the viewer that other direction, it would have been completely different. Like, I'd love to see like the Snyder cut, the horror cut of Jurassic Park, like just the exact same scenes, everything, but just like put that triumphant Jurassic Park movie in a minor key or something like that. And there you go. We wouldn't have to fight for our lives to say this is a horror.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you don't see a lot of the grotesque things that happen when people die. You just get a sense of like, what's going on over there? But I mean, people are literally getting ripped apart and eaten alive. So if they had even shown that a little bit more, I think people would hands down say it's a horror movie.
There's a lot of like artfully placed like palm fronds that stop you from seeing people's faces being ripped off by velociraptors. So damn, that artfully placed bush, how'd that get there?
I always love an artfully
placed bush.
But they also do start with the cold open kill. That's another horror trope. They're like, here's the guy getting ripped apart. You can't see anything getting ripped, but we're gonna give you like a flash of eye, and then like everyone's screaming, and then it's like, shoot him, shoot him, and then they cut to something else. Like, you like, that's scary. That's a horror open.
It also totally is.
Can we talk about the absolute cultural impact and PR that this movie did for velociraptors?
It really did.
Nobody was talking about them before. Nothing
turned it into something.
Like, they got their own basketball team named after them.
Whoa.
Like, this came out in 93. The Toronto Raptors.
The Toronto Raptors. Drakes on the team.
The Raptors were there in 95, and then their big like military plane or something that everybody knows, like the whatever Raptor, also was named because of this. They are my favorite dinosaur. Also, I want to ask, like, what's your spirit dinosaur? Because mine is a T-Raptor.
I don't know.
Well, think about it. That should be our poll question. What's your spirit dinosaur?
Cute little dinosaur.
I was asked this in middle school and I instantly said T-Rex because I just feel like I have that energy.
I love that main character energy.
Wingspan on my arms is not great, I'm that bitch.
I walk around like this all the time.
Like, that you might take as mean, but it's, don't take it as mean. You also have glasses and it seems like they have poor eyesight, so I think there's a lot of other parallels.
Hey. It's a burn.
Nope.
It's a burn, but
it's a compliment, honestly. I can only see things if they move. You have to stay perfectly still and I can't see you.
If I take my glasses off and you stand perfectly still, I'm not sure what's going on over there. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
You're invisible.
So actually, maybe I'll go with you, glasses girl. Team glasses, baby.
Yeah.
I want to be the one that is the ocean one that's in Jurassic World when there's that crazy chaos scene and it like jumps up and it like eats that bitch.
Yeah.
I like that one. But I also like a pterodactyl. I realized watching this movie, I love this movie for sure. I think I'm a Jurassic Park 3
girly.
I fucking love that one because it scared me so bad. Because talk about horror tropes. There's like a nasty dead skull, like the parachute dead body thing.
Ooh, yeah.
I would say
that you think is dead the whole time and he's in a bunker. Like, it's scary.
Three probably leans in more horror than the others.
Now that we're doing every movie as a chase sequence,
I don't remember Jurassic Park 2, even though Jeff Goldblum is the lead in it.
I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember it at all.
You have to rewatch it.
I'm watching it as soon as we finish this. I'm like,
this was so good. I immediately was like, I want to go home and watch the others.
Yes. I'm sorry. Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm watching 2 tonight and 3 tomorrow.
Yeah. I saw three in theaters. Like that was the first one. And I remember that scene where the guy's crawling on the ground. Sorry, maybe I shouldn't spoil. Is it okay to say something?
No, say words. Heart. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We've all
if
seen
I
it.
Feel scared, I'll take my headphones out.
The guy's crawling on the ground and the velociraptor's hovering over top of him. And I'll leave it at that. But
yeah.
it's gnarly.
Yoinks.
Big yoinks.
Sydney, you mentioned the popularity in velociraptors, and that made me think of Velociraptor, the Velociraptor meme. Do you guys know that? We're like,
yes.
Oh, is it like the philosophical raptor?
Yeah, the philosophical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said Velocipastor, which is a horror movie.
That is a horror movie.
It is.
Which further proves that this is a horror movie by proxy.
Yeah. You guys have to do that at some point. Velocipastor. Whatever it's called.
Oh, I don't know. but maybe. That looks like it's on like the like Thanksgiving level of shit tier.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Similar to a movie I saw called Butt Crack that is also a horror movie, like ass tier, like literally that one's ass tier, literally and figuratively. But yeah, I feel like it's on that level. But maybe I'll get really high and I'll watch it. No, I won't. I will what? Delete that.
Monica has never done a drug. Yeah,
I've never done drugs.
We don't know what a drug is. Getting high is just eating a bunch of sugar.
Exactly. I'm gonna have a sugar high.
I'm punch drunk.
But everybody said who they are if they're a dinosaur, right? Because I don't want to change subjects before.
Well, I will also say I could see myself being one of those little poison spit guys with the flair.
Oh.
Those are so
I love
cool.
them.
So fucking cool.
They're like Dilophosaurus. Really yeah. I used to do really impressions of that. You could actually ask AJ from our Misery episode. I feel like I did that impression a lot in middle school.
I will ask him. But I want to say you're saying this movie did so much for Velociraptors. Quick aside, all of these dinosaurs, or 90% of them, are actually from the crustacean period. Sorry, crustacean period, however you say that word. Crustacean is a crab.
Cretaceous?
Yep.
Cretaceous. The crustacean period. I don't know if you know about there's this time
in
the history of the earth
where
everyone was crabs. The humans were crabs. And besides that, the crabs cohabitated with these sets of dinosaurs that we see in the film. No. What is it?
Cretaceous.
Wow. I've never said that out loud in my life. That's so embarrassing. I'm smart still. Don't worry. But not the Jurassic period, which you might assume from the name of the movie. But even though they are wrong on a whole bunch of shit, and dinosaurs actually had feathers, and that was all figured out later, they did do a ton for paleontology in general, and getting kids back into doing that as a career. So
the like first IMDb trivia entry is that interest in paleontology waned during the atomic age and space race. But that Jurassic Park coming out generated a bunch of interest among young people that wanted to become paleontologists and get into the field. Don't know when this was written, so don't know the time period within which they're speaking, but whoever added this, it says, as a result, numerous new dinosaur species have been discovered since then at roughly the rate of 50 new discoveries per year, or about one per week. So I like to imagine that still up to this day, every week we're discovering a new dinosaur. But like, yeah, there's a fucking lot to be uncovered there, babes. And like,
yeah,
the world is crazy. There's so much we don't know. Like Monica said, we didn't know about the time Jurassic Park came out that they were usually feathered dinosaurs, even though they do have the part where they talk about the bird connection.
Yeah.
And I'll circle back to that at the end.
Know about that because this movie inspired a teen to become a paleontologist, and then that paleontologist found out about that.
Yeah.
So that's not true, but it could be.
They talk about the bird thing with the raptors in the beginning. And then also, I'm willing to say that actually the reason why dinosaurs don't have feathers in this movie is because of the frog DNA.
Yeah, I think it's because
they filled it in
genetically
with frog
altered.
DNA.
They've been genetically altered.
Mm-hmm. And it would just be really hard to CGI that.
If they used bird DNA to fill it in, then we would have been watching a different movie, babes.
Also, oh no, never mind. I got confused. I was thinking of that thing where it was like they used science to reconstruct the throat of this thing, and so you could hear what it sounded like because they like came up with all the dinosaur sounds for this. And I was like, didn't they do that for dinosaurs? But no, that was like a fucking mummy.
Yeah,
they and it did was it like, with like a pharaoh.
We can hear the mummy's voice funny. For the first time.
It's literally, it's so fucking funny. We'll link that in the fucking references, but it's not the same thing. I just got confused. But I do love that. Like this one for sound design, I think it won the mm-hmm. Oscar. Yeah, and the yeah. guy who did it like had a really fun time creating the sounds. And they are really terrifying. Some of them are nice sounds, like a swan going, I don't know, swans make a little hissing noise. And that's one of yeah. the dinosaur sounds. But others of them are tortoises fucking.
What? That wasn't.
I looked it up on facts.com.
That's romantic.
That wasn't in the making of Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow.
Lies. Lies.
Well, IMDb trivia says that according to the behind-the-scenes book, The Making of Jurassic Park, An Adventure 65 Million Years in the Making, the T-Rex roar is like part a dog, a penguin, a tiger snarl, alligator gurgle, and most importantly, a baby elephant's squeal. But yeah. the baby elephant only did it one time, and they wanted to do it again because they were like, oh, that's the perfect sound. We need to get a couple of them. And then the trainers were like, we don't know why it made that sound. We've never heard it do that before.
It's crying out for help.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Nope.
The baby elephant was
worried.
Like,
we're a little worried hearing it, honestly. Yeah.
Wow, that's like ominous. I don't know.
The baby was
like that.
Like, I think that's what it was saying.
Mm. Your microphone completely cut out with whatever you just said.
Yeah, that's, I think, true to what happened on set as well.
It's something that could never be heard again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I said was, I don't want to be in movies. And actually, I think my mic was being such a good ally to me in that moment. Mm-hmm. Said, don't worry, girl, I got you. I won't even capture that.
When I was watching this last night with my movie supplement, also makes mm-hmm. it even more scarier because it started working right at the glorious T-Rex scene.
Ooh.
But I had a movie watching supplement thought, and it was they didn't really like discover dinosaur bones until like the 1800s, so the founding fathers never knew about dinosaurs.
Oh, that's so sad. Oh, for
that's
them.
Their loss.
And I just so feel sad. Like at least Benjamin Franklin would have fucked with dinosaurs.
He would have been so fucking psyched, been... bro.
Yeah.
Dinosaur.
He would have loved that shit. Benjamin Franklin would have 100% been first in line to go to Jurassic Park.
Yes. Mm.
He would have been the biggest fan.
He would have loved
that shit. He would have ate that shit up.
Another yeah. poll question. Which of the founding fathers would have been more?
Who would be first in line? Yeah.
That'll be the write-in.
Yeah.
Really quickly, the mating tortoises, that's the sound of the velociraptor. Just want to be clear.
Oh,
just to give you a little context.
So interesting.
When they're like, That's wow. it. Have you heard tortoises mate? Have you heard that?
I haven't, but I've seen it.
In this movie, so yeah, I have heard it.
Yeah, well, I guess I have heard it.
It's different hearing it and not knowing it and hearing it and knowing what you're hearing. It's like very scary and they're very loud and like good for them. I wouldn't want them to be quiet. I want them to be themselves.
Yeah.
You want to hear.
You the sound hear is so
I'm
terrifying
in my girl's
that they
ear,
use.
Like, Yeah.
Yeah. They literally. It's so terrifying that they made it the sound for the velociraptor. Mm. Like, what need we say more?
Sure.
They should
honestly for itself.
My favorite dinosaur and the noises that make are tortoises having sex. So tracks.
I feel like that does. They knew that Sydney was gonna watch this and really identify with the velociraptors one day.
They said, "For you, queen.
For you, queen.
For you, queen." Okay, well, let's get into the scary shit here because we're already like an hour into this episode.
Wait, but I do want to say real
just
quick,
like an hour into the movie when the
exactly
scary
wait,
it's perfect.
But I do love this scene where, what's the girl's name? I don't know anybody's name in this movie. Lex. Okay. I do love when she trips and Grant like helps her, grabs her to like stabilize her. And then she just keeps holding onto his hand. And he's like, ugh, like, get off. Like, that was one of my few notes that I took throughout this movie. And also the way that they say dinosaurs in the video where they're like, dinosaurs. They say it really, they say it really interesting if you go back and watch.
Oh, Mr. DNA's accent is so funny.
Mm-hmm. It's like a famous voice actor.
Love that.
Also, I love the BD Wong cameo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's not a cameo. That's just
I know, but now it is.
Now it's a little surprise. Again, for us Mariska Hargitay fans.
Exactly. And I also just really love the baby velociraptor. I think that's an ingenious work of animatronics.
So very.
My dream.
Also, the Triceratops was also a work of art.
Yes.
Such a work of art. And fucking, you, I mean, you want to say the lore with that one and what Spielberg made them do? Because I know you know it.
Well, the only like, I read so much, but the one thing was that they actually weren't supposed to film that scene so early on in the process. It was supposed to be much later. And Spielberg was at location in Hawaii and was like, we need to have a dinosaur on set to like really put it together. And so Stan Winston was like, you're right. So they whipped it together, shipped the triceratops over. They didn't even think it was going to work. Like the animatronics they thought were not going to work when it was live, but they were like, well, it's a sick triceratops, so if anything doesn't work, it's just it's sick. Yeah. Chef's kiss, great performance from the triceratops.
Well, it was so crazy because like he was like, every other animatronic thing they filmed on a soundstage, but he was like, no, this is going to happen on fucking Nublar Island in Kauai. That's the name of it actually in the movie. So that's fucking crazy. And also RIP the baby triceratops, because there was going to be a baby triceratops. And the whole thing with that scene was that she was going to be giving birth.
She feels sick like this every 6 weeks. I was like, that's her menses, girl.
Yeah,
she's on her period. Apparently it's different in the book.
Do you want to know why she's sick?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she is eating the lilac berries that are poisonous, or West Indian lilac.
Yeah.
But Triceratops would also eat rocks, and they called those gizzard stones to help them digest in their bellies. And once the rock became smooth enough, they would regurgitate the rock. And so she's regurgitating the lilac berries too. So that's why it's not in the poop.
Oh.
But they are still putting this dangerous ass plant in the animal environment because they've decided it's pretty. And they're not thinking about the animal safety, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess because that part is one really cool, but it does go on really long. And so it's like, what is the point of it going on so long? And it's just to really establish that they don't care about these animals. Like, they do. Yeah. Obviously, that man who is trying to help her cares. But, like, the animals are getting sick now because of the lack of forethought with how they put this whole place together. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was the point there. But anyway, now let's get to the scary stuff. I just want to say that the fucking shaking water thing is fucking brilliant. It's so brilliant. Yeah. It's the exact same thing as the dunna, 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 dunna from Jaws. Like, it's the same thing. But the lore behind the creation of that whole scene is the fucking fun. The single funniest piece of trivia I have ever heard. Steven Spielberg was listening to September by Earth, Wind & Fire. and the bass was so intense that it shook his rearview mirror. And he was like, oh, fuck.
Vibrations.
Earth, Wind, and Fire made that shit happen.
Wow. Do you remember?
I just talked about Earth, Wind, and Fire earlier today.
Yeah,
it's an unabashed bop. Everybody knows it's a bop. Isn't that so hilarious? I can't believe that's real, but it is true.
Yeah,
believe
it. It's such a well done scene because of the chaos scene earlier in the flirting. It sets it up so well by being like, ideally this water should be flat and you'd be able to see what I mean more, but like, we're in a moving vehicle. There's only so much we can do. Now shit's broken down and we're at a standstill and everything is stopped. And so you can really appreciate the slight ripple in water that was still a moment ago. Ugh. Like, The way this movie is like built together, it's pretty brilliantly done.
Yeah. And it's like also this tropical storm that has hit, which is also making things so much worse and making things so much harder than they should be. Which is again
ill-planned storm.
That's why that guy, he's gotta fucking go. He can't wait for next time and blah blah blah. He's gotta do it right now. And everything really hits the fan because I mean,
it's like Mother Nature fucking shit up for everyone at this point.
You're not in charge of everything. A storm can come along and fuck your shit.
And that happened in real fucking life with this movie, too, because Hurricane Iniki, sorry if I said that wrong, hit while they were filming this. And that's why those shots of the water looked so good, because Spielberg was like, bitch, director of photography,
get
over here. We're going to go film this shit, which is fucked up. But everybody else stayed the fuck out of Dodge. Hammond, the actor, Richard Attenborough, slept through the entire hurricane. But it was like the biggest hurricane that has ever hit
Hawaii. Did you see his quote?
Yeah, I survived the blitz.
It's my dear boy, I survived.
My dear boy.
Yeah, I was like, my dear boy. Character, but also he's got a sir before his name, so that's just who he is. I think he's just the kind of person that says, "My dear boy."
The one thing about the hurricane that I just want to say is that Chelsea, is your birthday September 11th?
Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Well, would you like to know that that is also the day that Hurricane Iniki hit?
Oh my god!
Never forget
September 11th, Slay.
Oh no, too literal. I think your birth is the only good thing that's ever happened on a September 11th. Yours is the one bright spot on and any good birthday party you've had. Okay. That too.
I did read that in the book and I went, oh, I think that's Chelsea's birthday. I'm going to make a note of that.
Oh my God, Claire.
Well, I mean, we were talking earlier about how, sorry, happy birthday in advance, Chelsea.
My half birthday was recently. So.
Happy half birthday. Oh my God, I can't believe we missed it. The reason why we forget Samuel L. Jackson is in this movie is also because of Hurricane Iniki, because they were going to film his entire jaunt over to flipping the switch and turning the electricity back on. But the hurricane destroyed all of the fucking sets. So they had to cut doing all of those scenes. They couldn't do those scenes at all. So that's why that feels kind of disjointed. A low point in the movie, because they're just like all of a sudden, like there's no establishing shot to explain the passage of time. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden they're just like, it's been forever. I'm Laura Dern. I'm pacing around and I'm upset. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of jarring. And it's makes a lot of sense because they're like, well, we have nothing else we can do. We only have $50 million and we used it all on the T-Rex.
Yeah. Was it also I saw on IMDb trivia that it was like the T-Rex would malfunction because of rain damage, basically. And it would like sometimes move around on its own on set and like freak the shit out of the cast and crew, who were like, the T-Rex is moving and nobody told it to do that.
That would
I'm
scare
assuming
me.
That's from the hurricane, but I don't know.
It's also Kauai and it's in a rainforest, so it rains a lot.
Sure.
They shot the T-Rex scene on a sound state, like in the studio. They didn't shoot that in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it's just the fake rain, maybe.
Yeah.
From that
but
scene.
The rain would make the T-Rex bloat because the T-Rex was made of like foam. And so it when it absorbed water, it would blow up and they would have to constantly try to keep drying it off.
Wow.
T-Rex, she's just like us.
Yeah.
She bloats.
She's one of us.
Well, okay, the thing that I read about that was totally blew my mind, I hadn't heard about, was the near death that happened with the T-Rex animatronic. It was really a cool article that I think is actually from the company. It's on the website of the company that like literally made it. So they're like, they're being very forthcoming here. The guy didn't die and it was fine, but it was really close. It's like some Final Destination shit. So basically the way that they created this thing, it was Stan Winston that is the creator of it. they had the whole animatronic made. It's made with hydraulics, right? So like big pumping pieces of metal inside to make it move around. And so they had it all done, but they needed to apply the skin to it. And in order to do that, they had to be like inside of it to glue it down. Yeah. So the quote was, we actually had to put the skin on and had to glue it down from the inside and sew it all up once we were there, said Alan Scott. This is the guy that this happened to. And the skids were so long, you could only reach in a couple feet from either end. And so there was this whole section in the middle that you could only glue down by crawling into the armature. It had to be done in the sculpted position too. So basically the T-Rex had to be on, powered up, and it had to be held in this certain pose where its head was up. So you could get, there would be space inside for a man to be in there to glue everything down. And so Alan Scott, he's the one who offered to do the job. And so they were very specific. They were like, nobody, like everybody be really careful. Nobody fucking kick over this cord because we will kill Alan if you kick over this cord. And they're like, the only thing that could happen is if the power goes out, then we'd be fucked. Well, guess fucking what? Murphy's Law. Anything bad that could happen will happen. He was inside and the whole power for the whole sound stage went off. It probably got overheated because there was a giant T-Rex connected to it. And so the whole thing started to like collapse around him and he just rolled into a tiny little ball as all this like metal was like, you know, you've seen hydraulics. That shit's crazy. Yeah. The armature's going nuts. And luckily, thank God, he got small enough that he didn't get any of his limbs sliced off. But, like, that's some Final Destination shit.
Very on brand. That. You know, working with a dinosaur, being crushed by a dinosaur.
Power outage in the tummy. The issue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weirdly connected to the plot of the film. But, yeah. But that whole scene with the intro to the T-Rex is so good. I remember as a kid, the goat really fucked me up. The goat shit when the goat is gone, absolutely terrifying. Right. That like the kids don't know the rules and so they lure that bad boy right over to them with the light. Like,
they're thinking it's literally like a cougar or a bear or something, and they're like scared away.
I mean, I don't blame them.
Also, did you notice when the goat leg gets thrown on the car, it's a goat leg. But then when we see the T-Rex eating the goat has both of its back legs.
Maybe that was a front leg, Cindy.
It was a back leg. It's obvious it's a back leg.
Oh, I guess I don't know goats like that.
I love
it. It's too focused on the T-Rex eating the goat.
There were a few inconsistencies I noticed, like that same scene. Obviously, the door to their car, the kid's car, is open because the lawyer guy fled to go to the potty and get eaten there later. And we see another shot of it from the adult car when they're like, what's going on over there? What's the deal? And the door is closed. And then we go back to the kid's car and they have to like close the door. So that is one thing I noticed. I also felt like when the lawyer guy was getting eaten, it looked like when he was sitting on the potty, his pants were not on. And then when he was getting eaten, he had pants on. And I was like, interesting. They didn't want us to see his butt. And I guess that was right choice. But I thought his pants were down and he was going potty.
These are what I call oopsies in the movie, because there's quite a few. But they just endear the movie to me so much more. Like, I'm fine with it. Because I think the biggest one is that, where did that fucking cliff come from? Where, like, when the car gets pushed over the edge, because the T-Rex like comes out and is clearly on flat land, but then when the car gets pushed over the gap, it's a cliff.
Yeah, because it's not the other side. That doesn't make any sense. And also with that same thing, how the fuck does Laura Dern get down there
and get back like,
did
so
I miss
fast.
Something? No, she's like, down with Lex on his shoulders, like, and then later it's like beep beep beep. Just
when we talk about the kitchen scene, there's another oops I want to share, but I'll save it for that moment.
I thought when they try and go in the door, because I also was like, wait, where are they? What's going on? I was like, it wasn't clear to me that everybody was going in the same direction at that point. But
it has something to do with the door, but it's mostly the Velociraptor.
Okay.
But yeah, these are just like little oops moments. And I think it's mostly, I don't know if this is the main reason, but like the production schedule on this was so fucking fast. Like Spielberg was like doing everything in five takes at the most and then saying, all right, let's go to the next scene. Let's go to the next shot.
Gotta keep it.
Gotta finish it up so we could go fucking fly to Poland and do Schindler's. No, do Schindler's List.
He was,
Schindler's fucking list was made the same year as this.
And then do ER.
And then do ER.
And then ER.
So he was like, I don't have time to cover these.
The fucking dichotomy Jurassic Park and then fucking Schindler's List. Oh my god.
And before Jurassic Park, he had just finished doing Hook.
What?
Wow.
I love Hook.
Oh,
maybe that's why he wanted Robin Williams in this movie. They almost cast Robin Williams. He's like, that's my boy.
Jim Carrey also auditioned for Jeff Goldblum's part.
Oh my god.
He would have been too funny, goofy, but also he can play it straight. I've seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Well, I like that they got a sexy guy. I think sexy guy was the right call.
Jim Carrey's sexy. Okay, whatever. And we don't have to fight about this right now.
Jeff Goldblum.
He's not
very heroic. Very heroic with the flair.
Mm-hmm.
But also so stupid.
It's very stupid.
That was Jeff Goldblum's idea. Oh, interesting. But it also
because it was written that he was supposed to be a little scaredy cat, just like the lawyer, and run away. And Jeff Goldblum was like, this doesn't really make sense, like, because he's been so forthcoming about protecting everyone and everything, and like saying that this was a bad idea, and that like feels anti to his character. And so Spielberg made the change, and that made him into a hero.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't sure if I believed him or if I thought he was making a joke, but he says he has a bunch of kids and he's always looking for his next Mrs. ex-wife. So like I believe that he might have kids and that he was like the one taking
protecting the kids
situation seriously. And he does not have the specific knowledge that Alan Grant has, where he was like, this is my strategy and this strategy is based on knowledge of dinosaurs that I have. Malcolm was coming at it from a different perspective. He was kind of just like looking at what Alan Grant was doing and then trying to help. And so like, yeah, they weren't exactly on the same page, but there wasn't a lot of time to communicate. But this scene is the scene that stuck with me that I conflated into like this scary moment, I think, because when we were on Sledgehammer Horror, I was like, this scene that stuck in my brain, I thought it was from Jurassic Park 2 where they're like dangling over the edge of the cliff. I think it was the car in the tree in this scene and having to get out of the car in the tree, and that scared me so much as a kid, where it's like, it's gonna fall any minute now, like you gotta go, like we're on the edge, like when he touches the wheel in the car and then you see like the wheel, the steering wheel, and then the wheel on the bottom starts to wiggle, and like that was scary. That got me. I think that was what I was thinking of.
It's a very terrifying scene on all ends. Like, it's horrific. Like, the fact that the kids are the ones being fucked up the most at the beginning.
Yeah.
Also, the glass, that was an accident, apparently. The glass coming down of the windshield. Did you read that in your book?
That wasn't in the book, but I did see that on IMDb trivia a long time ago. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know.
Sometimes I think people make things up on there for sure.
Yeah,
this wasn't on IMDb trivia. It was on like another what facts.
Well,
article.
I also believe that when
it
they
wasn't
put the facts. Book out,
net, though.
If they put a book out the same year the movie came out, being like the making of the movie, I believe that they would not necessarily be like, and here's the accident where we had and we almost killed our child actors. Like, they probably are not going to publicize.
Yeah, the thing was like, it was the animatronic like moved or something
and it, like,
the glass, and so it popped down, and so they just rolled with it and slam, looked great.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
Looked very cool.
The fact that it looked very cool. Yeah, only glass, this thin layer of glass stopping the T-Rex.
I find that hard to believe too. I don't know if someone has the other knowledge, come in,
it's for you to research. We can only offer you things that sound interesting, and then it's on you from there.
Yeah. But I mean, from here is where things start to get really sexy, because yes, they're children and everyone is great. And Sam Neill, love him. Grant discovers that he can care for children and he likes them. How wonderful. We love
the
that
scene
part.
Where Lex is freaking out by the tunnel and she's like, he just left us. And he's like, and I won't be like him, or like, and I won't do that to you. And whatever he says in that scene, oh my god, okay, King. But, like, okay.
Honestly, I was hooked at that. I was like, that's what you want to hear from a man.
He's sexy. He looks so good in this. Also, like, he was a really like lesser known actor at the time of his
which
casting,
which is crazy because he'd already been in Possession.
Well, I know. But here's the thing that I thought was so funny when I was reading the article about this. It was like, he'd only been in these three big movies. Possession was not listed. Boo. But one of them was fucking Dead Calm, which is the fucking sailing horror movie that Adam wants to do on the podcast with us. Isn't that so funny?
Wow.
Adam, podcast boyfriend.
Sam Neill,
he's like,
Summer.
Oh, come on. Only to do the sailing horror movie with Billy Zane and Sam Neill, apparently.
Damn,
yeah,
wow.
I haven't seen it. I have no idea, but another through line.
Yeah.
Clear reference to something we'd never told the listeners before, but we know.
But we know.
And now you know. But yeah, he was like, it was a risk. And also I learned more about Sam Neill. So like, we referenced last week that he's an Irish actor. He's born in Ireland, but he moved to New Zealand super young. So he has a Kiwi accent. So everyone was like, why is his accent like that? Because, yeah, it's a little weird. But he could not do an American accent. And so at first Spielberg was like, you just do your normal voice. And then he was like, what if you did halfway between your normal voice and an American accent? And thus the movie was born. Yeah. I like his little voice. It just sounds fancy.
I thought he must have felt really comforted when they were making the dinosaur jokes and being like, do you think he saw us? Because that's very, I mean.
That was so cute.
Aussie. But I think they probably say it similarly in New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how different the accents are.
The accents in this movie are really funny too, because Attenborough, like you could tell at the very beginning of the movie, he is talking in a Scottish accent. And then as the movie like goes on, it just becomes a very posh British accent.
It's he's like, I got tired of doing that.
Got comfortable.
He's like,
these
no.
American bitches Shot. Are not going to notice. Yeah.
But the reason I was saying it got sexy at this point is because this is when Jeff Goldblum, Ian Malcolm is discovered, and he's all sweaty because he's bleeding out and his shirt
got ripped,
buttons ripped off, he's glistening, the chest hair, him laying in repose on the back of that Jeep, on the back of Claire the Jeep, as the T-Rex is chasing after them.
God,
I
Claire,
forgot about
back.
That hair. Oh my god, what was it like? I'm sorry, you're married.
I feel like your husband will understand.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum in his peak.
Don't listen to this, Claire's husband.
No, but later on when he's laying down, like, on his side,
just and then it just hair out,
completely exposed. And then I always see that with the meme from Titanic where it's like, Jack, pay me like one of your French girls.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
The way that did something to me as a child, I was like, I do remember me and my cousin would like rewind the VHS. We'd like sit right in front of the
wearing
TV
out the
and,
tape,
like, hit rewind on the thing, and like just watch it over.
Yeah,
so
beautiful,
so good. I do something that does bother me, and I guess it goes along with the book a lot more. It's frustrating how hard it was. How hard it was for Hammond to give up his dream, especially when his grandchildren's lives are on the line. Like his morality is really in question there. And I don't feel like, I don't know. I didn't like pay attention enough in that moment to like realize how fucked up that was. Like Laura Dern had to be like, the only thing that matters now is the people we love. Hello. Hey, is your humanity in there? Knock, knock. Like that was an interesting part of this. But I also really liked the other dinosaur that were like running around that were in like acting like birds.
The Gallimimus. Yeah.
I loved that part. And I also loved the mystical, magical Brontosaurus, but they're not called that. There's another name. Tall boys, long neck, Brachiosaurus. That whole part with the kids and the magic of that, and them feeding its big head. That's so funny.
And it sneezes. Ugh.
So cute.
Really unfortunate for Lex. Really. I know. Really, she's just having a tough time. She's just warming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, you're a vegetarian. Me too.
Relatable. I know we've talked about like the animatronic dinosaurs, but can we also acknowledge the CGI dinosaurs too? Because like, I feel like this movie, I know it's probably aged at this point, but to me, some scenes, like I couldn't tell which was the CGI and which was the animatronic. And I only know because if it's a wide shot, it's probably the CGI. But this like really was a quantum leap in like computer graphics at the time. And the fact that they were originally going to do all of these wide shots with stop motion animation, which was going to be created with Phil Tippett.
Poor Phil Tippett.
I know. So like he had like made scenes with like the velociraptors in the kitchen, all using stop motion animation. And Industrial Light Magic, ILM, was kind of brought in to help finesse the stop motion. But then they secretly built the T-Rex using computer graphics. And that's kind of, and it was so like amazing and so wonderful. That's how we got all of the CGI full body dinosaurs in the film. But also it was really devastating for Phil Tippett because
my hard work.
Mm-hmm. Well, they made a quote in this movie based off of what he said.
Yeah.
He basically said like, I think I'm extinct. When that's what he said. That was the quote when he got fired, or not fired, but like when it didn't work out. And Spielberg was like, ha ha, that's a great line. Okay, psycho. And he put that in the movie. And so that's when Malcolm says, don't you mean extinct, to Grant when he said he was out of a job. Yeah, yikes. Yikes, Aroni. I mean, this really did. It changed everything. People started leaning towards CGI after this. I mean, this and, of course, Death Becomes Her. the incredible CGI work there. But like, people started to realize, oh, like you can see, you can make anything come to life on the screen using this. And sometimes it looks like shit, though. And they didn't think about that. It looked really good in Jurassic Park, but not everybody gets a $50 million budget. And so they should keep that in mind.
Sometimes when I was watching it last night, I was like, okay, this still holds up overall and it's still incredible. But sometimes you're like, okay, like that's I think there, even though like this was such like a big pioneer for CGI, there's only like 50 or 51 like incidents is of CGI this whole film, where like if you did that today, like most movies that you CGI, there's over 2,000
CGI.
And so like
I liked the combo of animatronics and CGI, you know, like,
which is what they did on Death Becomes Her as well. So
I love a good animatronic. Yeah. Well, except, and you for know, when it eats a man.
We're huge on practical effects here over at Spooky Tuesday.
Bigly. We love it bigly. but yeah, I mean, I do really wish that they could have had Samuel Jackson's death, because
it's really abrupt.
I feel like they could have used one more instance of horror in here. Like, we get a lot of stuff, but like to see somebody die, like I did love, sorry, I don't know his name, that other guy's death.
Muldoon.
When Laura Wait. Dern and
The vet guy.
Muldoon. I think he's handsome, by the way.
Muldoon.
Bob Peck is the actor. Muldoon. Mm-hmm. I love his whole thing with the velociraptors. I love how that clever girl circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was so disturbing. I mean, they're so smart. It's fucking terrifying. They did a great job establishing, like leaving little breadcrumbs for the last scene with the kids, the whole finale, to be as scary as it was. Cause like, you're like, these are formidable.
They can run like cheetahs. They can jump. They can. Yeah. We have to only feed them by dropping in the cow, and then we're gonna show you how fucked up it comes out afterwards. By the way, do you want to go have some lunch now? Like,
They know how to open doors.
They work in tandem. They can work as a team. That's fucking terrifying.
You're testing the fences for weaknesses.
These two are sneaking up on you on the side.
Yeah.
Again, my favorite. They were my favorite. I was like, and I don't know, maybe him calling her a clever girl just did something to me, you know?
Filed that away. Yeah.
I just love that he acknowledges that he has been outsmarted, and he's like, it's like touche, but clever girl.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. But yeah, I loved the whole tension that they build too when Laura Dern is charging up the flip switch and baby boy Tim is learning how to climb. I'm like, bitch, you just learned how to climb. You did that already with the tree. We thought we were past that, but he is 7 years old, so I guess I'll let it slide. But that was really good juxtaposition between those two scenes. And Tim's really been through it.
Yeah.
Okay, but Tim getting electrocuted off the fence, I laughed uncontrollably for 5 minutes. It was so fucking funny.
He launched him perfectly. Yeah.
I just love how fried he is afterwards. Like, sorry, mean, but his leg doesn't work and like his hair's out to here and he's just like, snacks. Fair. Like, honestly, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
But I think even though we lost the Samuel L. Jackson death, his character's name is Arnold. The arm part, I remember that absolutely fucked the fuck up. That's so scary. And it coming through the wires. I think they do something with that in the ride. Because I'm like, why does it feel so visceral to me? This scene, you know? And I think like the velociraptors like come through wires or something at one point in the ride. Which the ride, there's like a whole thing about the ride at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, because they redid it. But I haven't, I don't think I've seen it since they redid it.
I love
They didn't chain it that much. Oh, okay. They just like changed the. It's still pretty much the same. There's like maybe a couple other dinosaurs or something. I don't super remember. But like that is like the best ride of all time.
Yeah.
And it literally costs $100 million, which is twice the amount the movie took.
Oh my God.
Well, they had to build two of them. Yeah. Because there's the Orlando and the Hollywood one.
Yeah, I think this was just about the Hollywood one, but I don't know. I didn't read the whole article. It's linked in the references. If you're interested.
If you want to do your own research to find out the facts, that's you're welcome to do it. And here's how.
There you go.
Yeah.
We provided you with many a link.
We're training you actually to do your own research and not just rely on other people to do it for you. It's a service we provide.
Mm-hmm. We're helping you. We grow as a human. But yeah, that brings us to the finale in the visitor center.
Well, actually, I just want to say one thing before that, which is I love Grant's little electric fence joke that he makes.
Oh, yeah.
It feels
such
like he's really come into
really
come into his own as a dad in that scene. And my dad always said, and actually sometimes this makes me mad, but he always said that his children exist for his entertainment benefit. And that really felt like what was going on in that scene where he's like, if I have to have these kids, at least I get to play little jokes.
I'm gonna razz them.
Yeah. If these are my fucking kids now, although presumably they have their own parents somewhere out in the world. They at least have a mom, I think. But yeah, he's like, if I have to have these kids, I'm gonna do, guess what? I'm bringing in dad jokes. So
yeah.
Dad jokes are on the fucking table.
Its transformation was complete.
Yeah. Also, I know we talked about this bitter, but I just want to acknowledge Nedry's death was also terrifying.
Yes! Oh my God, first of all, so many good lines in that scene, too, where he was like, no wonder you're extinct. I'm going to run you over when I come back down.
Such a dumbass. It pissed me off. The one thing, the first time I watched this movie, I was a little distracted. The first time in the last 2 days, I watched it twice. I was a little distracted in the beginning, so I missed that part. The first part of the very first exhibit they go to when they're in the jeeps that are on the track, there's the voice over and it's talking about the
Dilophosaurus.
Thank you. I was hoping Claire would just say it, but I just started to make some sounds.
Yeah. Let her know where you're going and she'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It starts with a D. And they describe like what it does to you. And I don't think I'd ever paid attention to that before because I knew that it throws up on your face.
Yeah. It spits acid
in throwing up. Yeah, it's a fucking paralytic. It's a fucking, it explains it. It's a paralytic and it makes you go blind.
Yeah.
So like, it's that.
And they have
okay.
a sign there like, where they're like, keep the windows rolled up. Girl, why am I able to roll the windows down?
Oh, are you able to open the door?
Like the
door?
The ranger so guy says later, he's like, wrong. We need a locking mechanism. I told you.
No yeah. shit.
You're cheaping out once again.
So fucking brutal. Yeah, that one part also really got me as a kid. And also that part of the ride is a fucking bitch ass because you just went down the giant fucking splash ride. You're soaked. And then at the very end, you're riding out to right where you're about to get off the ride. And then those guys pop out of the bushes and they squirt you in the face.
Yeah, with more water. And you're like, no.
With more water. It's insult to injury. Yeah, I think that might be my favorite of the dinosaurs, though I am not it. Mm. But my pigeon pin was on barf. The part when Grant gets up to the top of the tree to get down, and he's like, I barfed.
Oh, I barfed.
I won't. No.
It's a classic. I threw up.
I threw up. I threw up.
Because and like, Grant's he's his like, idol.
That's okay.
He's embarrassed.
I won't tell anybody. Yeah. Oh.
Poor guy.
I threw up.
He's throwing up. Like, he's gotten electrocuted.
Very fair that you threw up, little guy, because you really went through the ringer going over the edge. And I was not convinced you were still in that car. And I did not know. I mean, I knew you came back, so I knew it was going to be okay. But I was really scared for you, little guy.
He got launched, poor boy. And then he has to face the Velociraptors.
Oh my God. He got really lucky because also after the Velociraptor scene, well, I guess it's still part of the Velociraptor scene, but with the T-Rex skeleton and with the car, things keep falling on little guy.
Yeah.
And like, just luckily things have a cavity, like the car, it's like the car falls on him, but it still has the framework. So he's like in the little gap, thank God. And he's just like, well, we're back in the car again. Like I thought that line was so funny. And like, thankfully when the skeleton falls on them, it's like the ribs. And so like, he's not getting smashed by the fucking spine, but his luck is, it's coming through sometimes and really not coming through other times. Poor little guy.
He's been through the ringer and it never ends. At least he gets all his little snackies. Those cakes do look really, really good. But again, another really beautifully set up shot for a scare because that mural is so cool.
Yeah.
With
and
the Velociraptor
jello.
On it.
The jello.
But like the fact that there's that mural there and then the shadow, I just love the way that that looked and the jello mimicking the vibrations of the
so
water.
Good.
Her
Jello
panic,
so
yeah.
90s. Is
that
Jello
look
90s?
On her
feels
I think so. I mean, okay. It's still feels obviously 90. Around and it was like very 60s, but.
True.
Yeah.
Everybody's on Jello in the 90s.
Yeah.
Jello is eternal, actually. But yeah, I mean, that scene is so fun with the funhouse mirror effect of. All of the kitchen equipment, all of the
when it slides into the cabinet because her reflection and you're like, oh, she's a fucking goner. And then it's like, guess what, bitch? That was a little mirror. She's gonna run away now. Like, that's so good. And also the timing of Laura Dern being like, yeah, one is contained. As long as they don't figure out how to open doors, Velociraptor opening a door. Like, it's so good.
So good. And also just how loud those metal cabinets were was also really freaking me out because I was like, fuck, like stop bonking into them. This is not good. Oh my God. That was such a good scene. And it just like they keep it amped up. But sorry, you had your special thing you wanted to say about
the other oops moment in here.
Yeah.
So when the Velociraptor pulls the door handle down and then pushes it with its snout and it flings wide open, you can tell that the animatronic is starting to fall down and a hand comes out from the shadow and pulls it by the tail to like right side it up. I swear to God, if you go back and watch it, you can totally tell.
That's so funny.
And I love
it. Wow.
Chelsea, are you going back right now?
I'm gonna go look.
Okay, verify. But yeah, that whole scene, that I think is one of the most terrifying moments to me, especially with like everything that goes on where they're trying to sneak past the Velociraptors and stay hidden. It's wonderfully done.
That, yeah. Oh, it's so scary. And then immediately we get Laura Dern and Grant. Sorry, Ellie, I guess is her name. Fuck that. No. It's Laura Dern and Sam Neill. We get them there and they're back together, the whole gang, but that whole sorry. Okay, this is actually the funniest part of the entire movie. The part when they're in like the whatever control room and they both are trying to keep the Velociraptor out, both of the adults. And so then Lex is in there trying to go through the computer, the 90s computer program.
Oh, it's so bad.
The 90s-ness so of that computer program. I was like, why is this like a little world? Like, why does she have to travel? Like, she's in fucking, what's the fucking game that everybody plays on the
Switch? Minecraft?
No, the zoo one where you're a little animal.
Zootopia?
No, I don't know what it's called.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to change my avatar's outfit first, and then we can meander through the 45-acre park here, and then we'll get to the control room. I was like, oh, my God. It's obviously supposed to build tension, but yeah. I was like, who would make this like this?
And also the way it moves, it reminds me of that old screensaver where it is like the corridor maze or whatever back in the day with the low graphics where it would just like keep going through the corridors, and the way it's like navigating the file systems. That made me think of that. But I loved that she was earlier like, I'm a hacker. Don't call me a computer nerd. I'm a hacker. That's my preferred terminology. And then later she's like, a computer. I know what to do. This is Linux system. I know that. Or whatever she says. I don't know if that's what she says. I just know that is a computer word.
Yeah, I love that Lex saves the day here.
Yeah,
like, all the women save the day. Like Ellie turns the power back on. Lex takes the computer working.
Actually, feminist.
And also, Ellie was the one smart enough to be like, "I gotta go. I gotta go
dinosaurs
do other stuff."
Eat man. Women inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, truth. Mm-hmm. When Hammond was like, "It should really be me going," and Ellie's like, "Look,
get over that."
Yeah, Chelsea, I have to know. Did you find it?
Yes, you can see the hand. Yeah. If you're watching on Netflix, it's at like 149.04-ish. If you go there, then you can see, maybe a second or two before that. But you can see for sure a hand reaching out to like steady the animatronic.
It is like one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah, they must have thought that
so
it was like
funny.
Underneath the like it would be covered by the cabinetry from the camera's perspective, and it just falls down
and go bonk.
Yeah. And I mean, sure, that would have ruined the take, and maybe they were like, and we gotta go because Schindler's List starts filming in 2 days. Probably they realistically just didn't even notice until later. It's one of those things like the coffee cup in Game of Thrones.
Exactly. Monica and I are the so blood inconsistency in the House of the Devil.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the finale of this is so fucking fun. Like, how dramatic. This is a blockbuster after all. It has to be in the grand ballroom with the giant skeletons and all this shit. Like, it's so cool.
They need to
and
do
this
it
is
for the
scene.
Aesthetic.
Yeah. Well, this is the scene where I'm, like, in particular, the music makes it not a horror ending. Like, it's kind of annoying because they're like, remember that thing where I was so fucking scary, like, 45 minutes to an hour ago? It's the hero now. Dun, dun, dun. Like, I tried to sing the Jurassic song and I forgot it.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like, they're playing that and I'm like, okay, but there's still a... Hey, there's still a T-Rex here, and there's still human beings in front of the T-Rex, and that seemed to be a big issue like 15 minutes ago.
No,
but now
she
everyone's
was always,
like, thank God we love
she's
her.
Busy
she was
now.
Always the hero. We just never knew till now.
We had a miscommunication before, and now we have gotten to know each other a little bit better, and we're speaking the same language.
She is the hero we deserved, not the one we necessarily wanted, whatever that fucking quote is.
She absolutely slays, and the way the like when dinosaurs ruled the world banner like flutters down as she's standing there majestic. God, it's
an aurora.
Incredible. Yeah, it's amazing. You
all believe that that almost was not the original ending. That was what also was it? Like, it was going to be Grant controlling a big crane and maneuvering the raptor into the jaws of the skeleton T-Rex and then crushing it that way. But Spielberg changed the ending because the CGI T-Rex was so good. He was like, I wanted to make a comeback.
Let's
I
do
wanted
the real guy.
Yeah. One yeah. more time. Yeah.
That's the big boss of the movie. Yeah. You have to bring him back for the finale.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, thank God. Thank God. Oh, what a movie. Oh, my God. My cat is going psycho mode right now and trying. I can see her eyeball underneath the door. She's trying to force her head underneath the door right now.
Just like that
but
raptor.
No, I mean, exactly. Oh, my God. An illusion. Yeah, I mean, I loved that the.
Can you see her?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Can you see there? That's her little nose. Kind of what? Oh, my God. You see the claw? Yeah. Oh, my God. This is just like, this is literally just like it. Anyway, keep going.
I love that the T-Rex circled back around because it was like, oh, yeah, hey, remember, girl, that there's a T-Rex in this movie? You haven't seen the last of her. And they felt like mm-hmm. very natural enemies where it was like in the beginning, they've been okay, first of all, not that we should be pitting two bad bitches against each other, but from like moment one in
be
this
movie. Be careful
here,
Chelsea.
I know. Yeah. From moment one in this movie, Dr. Alan Grant was like, you think T-Rexes are scary? No, one chomp from a T-Rex, you're dead. Velociraptors are what you need to be afraid of. That's what you should
They'll
be
torture
afraid
you.
Of. Yeah. You're going to be alive when it eats you. Yeah, but who should the Velociraptor be afraid of? The T-Rex, because it's the circle of life. And I don't know. It just, it's. I think it's so perfect that it's like, also, the destruction of these animals is the other animals. Like, this is a whole ecosystem that's going on. Humans are new to them, but also they're existing with each other. I thought it was great that it was like, and they're interacting with each other too. And that's part of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know that now cool. they speculate that the T-Rex was like a scavenger, so it really mm-hmm. it didn't like kill things.
Yeah,
it
had tiny little arms.
It was, what do you mean it didn't hunt people for sport?
Lies. It was like like if something was already dead, it would come and just like eat the carcass.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think it was probably the evil frog DNA that made it go
that track,
turn into
actually.
A natural born killer. Yeah. Frogs mm-hmm. aren't natural born killers, as we know.
Also, I just remembered in the book, it's so bad. They do get off the island, but they basically like napalm the island and kill all the dinosaurs on the island.
Yeah, they like kind of they don't say that exactly, but they have that one moment when Dr. or Mr. Aaron or and whatever his name is, he's still alive, Samuel L. Jackson, where they're saying like the Lycian protocol, like we could kill all the dinosaurs. And he's like, no, my dinosaurs. And it's like, what about your grandchildren?
And that comes back in Lost World because they're like, why didn't they die for because they're lysine dependent? Why didn't they die off? And because there's I don't know if there's
they fucking
beans.
Evolved.
There's Life like vegetation. There's vegetation
there's
and the.
There's the West there's Indian lilac. Actually,
are
secretly,
you saying
yeah?
The wind carried a seed of a bean across the ocean.
Possibly.
Flourished.
That's not for me to know. That's for you all to research and
that's
find
for
out.
For us to watch but later tonight.
A challenge
yeah.
for you as a listener.
Yeah. But the herbivores are eating the lysine and then the carnivores are eating the herbivores.
Oh.
So that's how they survive.
So again, circle of
life. Finds a way.
Life finds a way. But yeah,
life,
I mean.
Finds a way.
But, yeah. And that they're breeding.
Away.
They're like,
yes.
yeah, weird.
They're
I mean,
switching
the
genders.
The one amphibian that can yeah. switch sex when yep. in an all-sex environment. Like,
mm-hmm. That's why it's good they didn't of make course. Any ocean or because
the sea bass does
in this
that
one.
As well.
Right?
But they get pterodactyls like, by the third one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. They're like,
so
we don't,
I don't know how
that
happened.
Can leave the island, and then they're like, actually, what if we fuck shit up
oh my
even
God.
More?
That's another thing that happens. The velociraptors do get off the island in the book, and ooh, that's pretty fucked
they
up.
Kill, and the whole world ends. It's like Planet of the
that's
Apes.
That's like a
it's
whole.
It's like Jurassic World 3, from what I could tell from the trailers. But after I saw the first one, I was like, I'm not seeing these other bitches.
I refuse to support
episode.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve my attention. But I just, okay, one thing about the ending of this movie before we move into our segments, but also I'll give a chance for any other last thoughts. The end of this movie with the birds, I thought was beautiful, where they're just like watching the birds. And I thought it really came full circle with the beginning where they were talking about like dinosaurs probably became birds and they're more bird-like than we thought. And then they're just like looking at real birds. Cause I was like, are those dinosaur birds? Is that what they're looking at first? No, they're just fucking birds.
It's a pelican. It's
like, yeah. It's just like, this is the real marvel. Like, yes, it was so exciting to see dinosaurs and to have that come to life and to have a piece of this history, like within our literal grasp. That was like really awe inspiring and overwhelming for these scientists. But also like you take a moment, you sit back, you look at the evidence of the way dinosaurs still exist in small ways in our world, and they just don't look the same anymore. Things have changed, but the evidence of that science and nature and creation is still all around us, and it's beautiful and awe-inspiring. Like, I thought it was just like a great way to be like, and these scientists are still appreciating the beauty of this world, and there are ways to appreciate our world without creating monstrosities. Yeah. You can still engage with these things without bringing monsters into the world.
You don't have to mm-hmm. say fuck you to Mother Nature and God to experience dinosaurs. They're all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For example, have you ever looked at a alligators? Cormorant? Well, yes.
But also
whenever
chickens.
I look at cormorants, the fucking like seabird that's like all black, something about the way they move, I'm like, yeah, I see the connection to dinosaurs. It's very clear to me and it freaks me the fuck out.
But also, let's not forget about the shoebill bird.
I'm big. Have y'all seen
shoebill bird?
Oh, big, big face man.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Those are dinosaurs.
You know what I'm talking about?
They're so scary.
Oh, yeah. Those are so scary.
It eats baby baby crocodiles. Oh, my God. Scary.
Amazing.
But Chelsea, I also like how that ends too, because Grant had said that you'll never look at birds the same way again. And so like he's looking at birds and he's like, I'm never going to look at this thing the same way again.
They're different for me now.
I thought it was a beautiful ending.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But it's not the end for us. We are moving into our segments. How could this movie be gayer?
In the beginning when he's on the helicopter and he's trying to put the two things together that are the same orientation and he doesn't, that's a metaphor for him being gay.
Oh, yeah, that was, homo.
I think Jeff Goldblum, instead of flirting with Laura Dern, would flirt with Sam Neill.
You saw his chest.
They're a throuple.
He looks like he flirts with men. Yeah, I love
that. Thank you
for
saying that. It's a throuple. That's why Sam Neill didn't go all macho on him right away, being like, that's my woman. He was like, let's see how this shakes out.
We saw you from across the helicopter and we were interested.
I was like, yeah, that guy Hammond was right when he said you're a rock star. Come rock my world.
I follow Sam Neill on Instagram and he's so adorable. And I also follow Jeff Goldblum and they are BFFs on Instagram. And Sam has Sam has like a farm of wild animals where he lives and he named his ram after Jeff. And they're just adorable.
Yeah, I'm very supportive of a thruple read.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it for me. That's it.
Also, the dinosaurs that can change their sex. Yeah. That's obviously gay. That's very queer. It's very trans.
Like gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
It's on
the I wrote a velociraptor group is called a pride. So that feels like they're allies.
Stop! Slay.
If that's not gay, I don't know what is. That's
let's see what else. I mean,
Laura
I think
Dern
everyone in this movie could be gay.
Laura Dern. Yeah, she's you remember when the men's choir was like, here are all the gay things that happened this year. Laura Dern, Laura Dern, Laura Dern, Laura Dern. That was also this movie. Yeah.
Also, I think that Hammond gives me an old fruity man kind of vibe.
I can
think
see that.
Hammond is attracted to Malcolm, but Malcolm doesn't reciprocate.
And that's why he's like, I thought this bitch was my friend. Now I hate this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this bitch was going to be on my side. Now this bitch my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And having enemies is so queer coded.
I'll ask you, Claire, any other gay thoughts you'd like to share? And you can say yes. You don't have to say Sydney's line. She'll do it later.
The only one I was going to say was, I feel like there's something with Gennaro, because during the tour, he asks if the people are auto-erotica.
Oh, yeah.
That is such a fucking funny thing. He was trying to say animatronics.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. But he says auto-erotica. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I love it. Any other gay thoughts?
So many gay thoughts.
Amazing. Where would Matthew Lillard fit into this film?
He'd be a great Nedry, or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah. Or I want him to be the other scientist who's paying off Nedry with the Barbasol can.
Dotson.
Yeah.
I meant to have my Barbasol can as a prop this whole time. Fuck.
Wow,
I'm gonna get it in a second.
Let's re-record.
He could have voiced Mr. DNA.
He was actually, they don't want to tell you guys this, but he was the hand that came in and steadied the velociraptor in the kitchen scene.
Nice.
It's like, you guys didn't even know that Matthew Lillard was part of this movie, and that's because we didn't really want to publicly acknowledge our little goof, but that was Matthew Lillard's hand that came in and steadied the animatronic.
Beautiful.
Oh. Great prop work is what someone might say to me right now.
Great prop work.
Thank you.
I
agree with every Matthew Lillard thing you've said so far, by the way.
I have a Matthew Lillard, like the age that he would have been canonically in 1993, because he was 23, and actually in the book Tim's the older brother and Lex the younger sister, so he could have been, if they switched the genders, mm-hmm. he could have been an older teenage version of Tim.
Interesting. Oh. They bring in their college kids, blah blah blah. Yeah.
That would be cool.
He'd be great for the parasailer in 3.
yeah. Oh, he would be so good as the parasailer in 3. Fuck.
Wow, yeah, I think time traveling Matty Lily, he could play the scientist. He could play like the vet guy as well, for sure.
Mm. Oh, he could be BD Wong. Birthing the little raptors.
I love BD Wong.
But yeah, but you would have gotten the same, like every time you're like, oh my god, it's BD Wong, you would have been like, oh my god, it's Matthew Lillard.
That's true.
He could have been the Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, he was the voice actor.
He could have been the tortoise fucking guy. It actually was Matthew Lillard in a little suit going, that was him. You know how it sticks its tongue out? That's how you can tell it's Matthew Lillard.
Yeah. Duh. Everyone knows.
It's so obvious.
Duh. Yeah.
Well, okay, the next segment is going to be really easy. Dumb bitch is Hammond.
Yeah. I mean,
There's no other choice.
Is Nedry a dumb bitch? For sure. He would not have been able to exploit the systems that he did. He would not have been motivated to exploit the systems that he did if Hammond wasn't already being a bigger, dumber bitch.
Yeah, if he had just paid Nedry his due.
Pay your employees.
Hire two employees.
Yeah.
Pay your employees, or
they'll mutiny.
You have 4 employees here responsible for keeping these dinosaurs alive and you not getting eaten on a regular basis. Like, I just feel like you should be able to have a system where someone can take a sick day and the park does not fall to shit immediately.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's fair. Very fair. He's a dumb man, but he has vision. Everyone's like, he's like a dark Disney. Walt Disney. I was like, Walt Disney was already pretty dark, so that's saying a lot.
Disney's already pretty sketchy.
Yeah. That brings us to, really, really, really dark. Even darker in the book.
Extra dark. Yeah.
Dark roast. That brings us to our knives.
Okay.
Knives out of fives. Say the words.
On IMDb, this movie has an 8.2 out of 10. On Rotten Tomatoes, hold on, I forgot to look that one up because I got distracted looking at the many awards that this movie won over the years. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 92% fresh from critics and 91% fresh from audiences. Really good. And here are the awards that it won. Not a complete list, but at the 1994 Oscars, it won Best Sound, Best Sound Effect Editing, and Best Visual Effects. At the 1994 Grammy Awards, it won a Grammy for Best Instrument Composition Written for a Motion Picture or for Television. So it's halfway to an EGOT.
Okay, that score fucking slaps. Yeah. So that is fair.
At the 1994 MTV Movie and TV Awards, it was nominated for Best Movie, Best Villain, and Best Action Sequence for the T-Rex Jeep Scene. And at the 1994 People's Choice Awards, it won Favorite Motion Picture.
Amazing.
So you've got your big guys in the industry, and then you've got your big guys for the people speaking out. So
and then we have our little guys.
Much beloved. And then our little guys who support from home.
Who would like to go first? Who feels so moved?
I'll do Knives first. I, like I said, watched this a million years ago, but maybe never really saw it all the way through until this watch, and I just always assumed that I had. I was blown away. I thought it was gorgeous. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was so fun. I thought it was so funny, so much funnier than I remembered. I thought it was just like a blast start to finish. I was going in, I was like 2 hours and 7 minutes. Like, that's a little long. My schedule is tight today. But it was, every moment was a joy. And even when there were little things where I was like, oh, little goof with the car door or whatever, I was like, it happens in movies. And now that I know about the hand, I'm very charmed by the hand, actually.
All the goofs in this movie are so charming.
Yeah. But there are so many brilliant, beautiful things. Like the DNA cartoon is so fun and explains so much in a great way. The little dinosaur being born, that's wonderful. The slide into the mirrored cabinet, and then Lexa's okay. Love the way they did that. Again, the banner fluttering down. It's such a moment. Like, it's beautiful. I would give this movie 5 knives out of 5. I think it is stunning. I think it deserved more Oscars than it got.
Hell agreed. Yeah. This movie is so perfect. Like, it has held up well. It is funny. It is, like, beautiful to look at. It's a thirst trap.
It's a thirst trap.
In and
there's
of itself,
sexy people in here, fellas. Trap. Yeah.
This movie is so sexy.
There's sexy girls. There's sexy guys.
Boys. There's the dinosaurs are sexy. You can't look at that Velociraptor and say that is not sexy.
We see that it's computer sexy screen background a couple of times. Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson is smoking a cigarette down to the filter. Sexy.
He's sexy.
5 out of 5.
Even
I loved
Hammond.
Everything.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go next and keep it brief. 5 out of 5. Y'all have said everything. I love it. It's great. And I'm going to watch the next one maybe right now, or Twister.
I'm going to watch the second one right now.
Claire.
Yeah. This is a 1 out of 5 for me. No, I'm just kidding. This is 5 knives out of 5 for me. It is my all-time favorite movie. Love it so much. I'm glad that I've come full circle from being so terrified to absolutely adoring this movie. I feel like everyone is so perfectly cast. The way that the story unfolds is wonderful. The dinosaurs themselves are just look so fucking real that you actually feel like you're watching a documentary about people who actually went to an island full of dinosaurs, and this is the events that unfolded. And yeah, like we've mentioned, it's a horror movie, and I actually think it's might be elevated horror because it makes you think about
again
these big conversations
about
and ask moral philosophy. Questions. You're mm-hmm. so right.
Mm-hmm. Ethical dilemmas.
So yeah, for that, it's a 5 out of 5.
Wow! Yay! What a film.
Amazing. This is so fun. I'm glad we did this. This was a hoot and a half.
Yay.
Reliving my childhood.
Thank you for joining us, Claire. Thank you for being our expert and our guide through this. Thank you so much for pointing out the hand in that scene. I'm so glad I know about it and I got to see it for myself. But it's a slay of a movie. But it's not the only movie we have to talk about because we're doing something else next week. Next week, we're moving on and we're doing I believe it's a 2014 movie. Called Honeymoon. I've seen it before. I don't think Sydney or Monica, neither of you have seen it. I don't think.
I know very little about it. I just know that redhead girl is in it and I like her.
I watched the trailer. I'm still not 100% sure what this movie is about.
I think that is honestly the way that you should feel. And I think you're going to still feel that way for a while watching the movie. But it is by a creator that we have seen before. The director is Lee Janiak. She did the Fear Street movies. Yeah. So you might know her name. It's got Rose Leslie from Game of Thrones. And it's a very contained movie that I watched when I was just doing like a spooky in the woods movie night on accident one time. And I like it stuck with me. I was thinking about it for a while. I'm excited to see you guys watch it and hear what you think about it and get to talk about it. So I don't want to say any more at this time, but I'm excited for next week.
Hell yeah, I'm excited too. Well, okay, it's time for our poll question real quick, and then we're going to get all of Claire's socials out there so you can know what they are. But we already talked about it. We're saying it again right now. The poll question is, if you were a dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be? And there will be many options listed that I'm not going to say out loud right now because we heard the whole crustacean thing earlier. And we
crab
heard
is going to be one of the options. Yep.
Crustacean. Yeah. Crustacean. That and the dinosaur. I don't know. Just a little bit of breath work in there. And then the ride in will do something unhinged, whatever we said earlier. but Claire.
The Founding Fathers thing.
Oh yeah, the Founding Fathers. Yeah, Founding Fathers thing. Claire, let us all know. How can we listen to your podcast? How can we get more of you? Say it all. Now's your time.
Yay. Well, I just want to say thanks for having me on here. First and foremost, to talk about my all-time favorite movie with one of my favorite podcasts. So this was truly a dream come true. Thank you so much. Like I mentioned, I have a podcast called Why the Flick, where I have different guests on. It's a bi-weekly podcast that comes out every other Tuesday. And we really just sit down and ask our guests and me too, like, why the flick did we pick this movie? And talk about all aspects of the film. And we have our own like fun segments too at the end. So if the Spooky Tuesday listeners like segments, then we've got some of those too. And actually, very timely, in April, we are doing all like natural disaster movies, I'll say.
Ooh,
so they're all like,
hell yeah.
It's called Mother Nature is a Motherfucker Month. So
nice.
And I think I can share that we will be doing Twister at some point during
Wow. Oh my God, Monica's going to have to watch by then so she can tune in.
Are you going to be doing The Day After Tomorrow, the greatest disaster movie ever?
I can't confirm nor deny, but wink, wink,
maybe. A lady never tells.
I'm waiting with bated breath to download.
But you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And then you can also follow us at Why the Flick on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Letterboxd.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. It's always so much fun to talk to you. I'm excited for our next collab, which we're already in the works.
Yes,
so
for sure.
We won't tell you what it is, but it's going to happen. But back to self-promo. We are selling merchandise right now. Did you forget? It's been 2 hours since we talked about it. You can go to the link in our show notes right now. You can go to our Instagram right now and you can buy merchandise. But you only have until, I have to pull up the calendar. Is it the 16th?
The 12th.
No, it's the 12th. The 12th of April. You only have until the 12th of April to put your purchase in. Buy a sweatshirt, buy a shirt, buy a hat, buy all three, buy every color, go crazy, or don't do that and just buy one. But you want to rep this sexy, spooky Tuesday swag. Everyone will be like, what the fuck is that? And then you'll have to explain it. Wow. Doesn't that sound fun?
That's exactly what you want to do, actually.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. It really
spooky
is.
Spooky Tuesday fans, get the merch.
You heard it here first. You heard it from a fan. So
a gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yeah.
Whoa, drop the mic. Amazing. Also, we're asking for so much, but follow us on social media. We're at Spooky _ Tuesday on everything. We're on YouTube. You want to see Claire's beautiful face? She is the epitome of the sexy Jurassic Park Jeep, and you don't want to miss out on that. And we also got two Laura Derns, two for the price of one, and we've got one Grant. Sexy, sexy, sexy hat work going on right now.
We've got a little Jurassic Park thruple here, even if Malcolm's not present.
Exactly. So subscribe. And also follow us on Facebook and Tumblr at Spooky Tuesday Pod. And I have to say, at the end of the day, Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for buying our merchandise. That was so nice of you. I can't believe you did that.
You're generous with your money.
I love it when you do that. Do it again. And see you next Tuesday.
Bye, spookies. Buy our merch.
What do you call a blind dinosaur?
I don't know. What do you call a blind dinosaur?
Do you think he saw us? What do you call a blind dinosaur's dog?
You got me.
Do you think he saw us, Rex?
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamara Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at great18_, that's gr818_, and our podcast art is by Ryan Brom, who you can find on Instagram at Ryan Brom Art. That's Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Brom, B-R-O-M-M, Art, A-R-T. Learn more about Spooky Tuesday at spookytuesdaypod.tumblr.com.